You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics, no direction. But I love doing it.
This podcast has no rules.
Can I get a microphone?
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret?
It's Robert Kelly.
You know what, dude?
You know what, dude?
You know what, dude?
Podcast on riotcast.com.
Join the riot!
Yeah. Well, welcome to YKW fucking D.
We really harmonized there.
I like it.
We're back with the show, with the crew, I guess I would call it.
Yeah.
The
full band.
The regulars. Yeah, you guys are Joe's sucking his microphone off. Yeah. Usually that's held for anything sucking off as Louis J. Gomez's.
Yeah, we're rubbing off on each other. Literally.
We
go to youtube.com/ Louis and List Fuck Finally. .org.
It's an org?
Yep.
We
a big org. Two of them.
Can we start over?
So
you and I?
There you go. That shoot around really warmed you up. You're coming in, just banging them down.
We're gonna go from my right all the way to my left counterclockwise. We got Chris, Black Girl Ass Scopo, to my right.
Willow Butt.
What up?
He's
everybody?
Sitting at the producer's chair, but he's not producing tonight because
shit.
We're gonna get the video. The video is gonna be. I'm fine tuning it. There's a lot of shit that goes into it, and we're gonna do the video. It's just I don't want to record it and not have it and have it be shit.
I'm pumped. Bobby can't yell at me for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, he can.
About the video, I should say. About the video.
Bobby Scorsese.
He should yell at you for talking next to the microphone like a weirdo. I can't even hear you. It's like you're whispering in its ear.
Yeah, it's like you're filming a sketch where you would be talking into a microphone.
Yeah, like this.
Anyways, we got Kelly Festuca.
Hey, mate.
AKA the worst.
Yeah.
Sisty puss.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, it must have been while you were kissing me.
Oh, how do you not toe tap to that? It's beautiful.
And then we got back by popular fucking demand.
Yeah.
Boy, I have missed
the
you.
The truth.
I missed the show, but really I missed you the most, Bobby.
Joe List, I've missed your hair.
Yeah,
your Rob Sprantz hair, I've missed.
Jeez, a little insensitive.
Going bald?
I haven't been here in so long. Months.
I know. You haven't. You've been on the road.
I was in Norway, and then I had a Pearl Jam show, and then I was in Boston, and then you were gone. Kelly duped me into coming in here when you were here.
That was the best.
Fucking bummed me out.
Oh, that was the best phone call ever to receive.
Oh.
It was Joe furious about.
I was livid.
Kelly. Getting him to come to the podcast and Bobby's not
jet
here.
Jet lag. I hadn't slept. I was like, I'm not doing the show. I'm tired. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Joe,
she's like, please, we need you. And I'm like, okay. She goes, Bob's not there.
This was the day before Bob. I heard
the podcast. It was a funny podcast.
It was great.
It was good. It was fun.
Hey, what about that? Oh, wait. The other one was destroyed by Kelly.
Which one?
The one where
we did
I
the night before.
Right.
The one that I came in.
That was
in.
A good one.
If yeah. You're wondering who the one. Fucking. We got Dan Monster Voices.
Hello, lady.
fucking. Apparently, you are very good looking.
I don't know that.
Yeah. No. I mean, everybody, every woman, every website, every is
not every
gorgeous
website.
Dan Soda.
That
I
one
don't,
girl said it.
I don't know. A lot of people have said it, and I don't see it. Not that you.
Yeah.
I see
do
the. I see your good.
All right, Scopo.
No, yeah.
I'm not trying to finger that willow butt of yours.
When I read that review, I thought they were talking about me for a second. I got excited, and then I reread it, and then I was like, no.
She made me sound like an old school wrestler. Gorgeous Dan Soder.
Kelly, can you grab me a water?
Pink tights.
yeah, come in with a boa. Yeah,
fact that
you're
I have
the, but he's right, because you're the. Whenever
I don't
I
like that
to,
I have to ask for a water on my show.
Well, you know. Have them all here for, this is the power structure you built, Bobby.
How am I going to fucking reach over
I
there?
I actually took it out of your way while you were fiddling with cords, darling.
What
Put
did I tell
back
you?
In my way.
Okay.
Pull a Murphy Brown and get a new secretary every show.
No, whenever I talk to waitresses.
Pull a Sue Costello. Bobby, you got to fire everybody. I write in a Boston accent. Kid.
Oh, God, it's awful.
Listen, so you're back. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And now this is what they're mind-fucking me into thinking you're sexy.
What's that, Bobby?
Yeah, well, you're like a Ben Affleck and Matt Damon
Dan's
mixed.
No, Dan's not sexy at all.
Wait, until Dan, I do my Boys to Men breakdown for Bobby.
If you're wondering who the overmodulating, that's not us, that's his actual voice.
Yeah,
that's
Bobby.
Lewis, I am gay, J. Gomez. The J stands for fucking Jagay. Holy shit, are you gay?
Oh, wow.
We have not been together since the live show.
Yeah, we have.
Since that fateful night.
You were
not all of us on the show. Not me, you, Dan, and
ooh, uncomfortable.
It was weird.
Yeah, dude, you
straight up sucked a dip.
Yeah.
Dude, we're going to get to that. I really need to talk to you about that. And then to my very left, we have a very special guest, Jeffrey Gurian, who the list goes on of things you'd Kelly. What I mean, you I told you to get his list. You have a ton of shit.
A ton of shit.
Here's the thing about you is people like what everybody knows you, but some people are like, what the fuck is he?
They think I'm in the music business.
They think you're in the
That's why I sent you that video that you're in. Who the fuck is Jeffrey Gurian?
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you because you wear and you pull it off. Seriously.
With the Phil Spector hair?
No. Yeah. Eat that microphone. Apparently you're not in the music business because you're not into talking to a mic. But listen, no, you look like, you know what you look like? You look like the DJ that was. You know what
like
I mean?
If Phil Spector fucked Elton John.
Oh, perfect.
But you wear the clothes you
Which
wear.
Could actually happen.
You're very rock and roll. You're very rock and roll.
He looks like he's done a bunch of blow at Studio 54.
But I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, to me, it's a compliment,
too. Oh,
it's
too.
Huge. Yeah, you either look fucking silly gay or rock and roll, all mixed in punk rock, Iggy Pop, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Did you say punk rock?
Well, good.
Punk rock,
all
yeah.
All good for me. Yeah.
Well, punk rock who evolved into an older man.
Punk rock.
Yeah, Iggy Pop doesn't wear the fucking this shit anymore. The lead singer to the...
Yeah, he still runs around with no shirt, Iggy Pop.
Yeah,
still, but
he
still looks better
good.
Than
he's
me.
He's got abs, man.
It's great.
He looks great, but let's not Iggy get carried Pop, away. Man. He's fucking veining out. It kind of makes me throw up.
He's starting to get Ric Flair torso.
Yeah.
Where his pecs are drooping and it's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, he's starting to look like a clone, like an unfinished clone of himself. Like, but you sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was going to talk about DePaulo's joke. My wife bought a dildo. The thing was so realistic, it had more veins in it than Iggy Pop's forearm. He's not a good joke writer. That's the problem. The problem is he's got a great, you know.
I love Dan's new thing is when it's a good joke, he slaps the dildo on the fridge.
Dick slap.
So why don't you give us a little background? Where do you come into comedy, Jeff?
I've been a comedy writer for a long time.
How long?
Let's ask Lewis the same question when you're done.
Since the late 70s. Alan Zweibel gave me my start writing comedy. I brought comedy films up to Saturday Night Live.
Really?
And that's how I got started. Yeah, I drove up in a pimp mobile. You know that story? You don't
know
that story? I was driving a Mandarin Orange Eldorado. I had a very strange thoughts in those days, and I bought a car that was made for one of the Isley brothers. Right. And it was a Mandarin Orange Eldorado, and I totally pimped it out way before MTV did Pimp My Ride, whatever. Right. Put a Rolls Royce grill on it because I had met a black pimp from Maryland, and I was very impressed with his lifestyle.
You could have just said pimp.
Now there's a reason that I said that, and I'll tell you why. So
pimps are white.
I was a dentist in those days. I was a cosmetic dentist.
You were?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And
what's a cosmetic dentist? You gave people like the Rich Voss teeth?
No, I gave people nice looking teeth.
Oh. Yeah. Damn straight.
Fuck you, Rich Voss.
I love Rich Voss, but you know.
No, it was a good one. Don't fucking apologize. That ruins the joke. We liked it. Yeah. They didn't laugh. This is what happens when you break these guys open. They go, now they'll laugh at the next one.
No, it's funny because I wrote for the Friars Roast for many years, and I'm used to writing mean-spirited shit, but I don't do it amongst people.
You're a very nice guy. People. You're very nice. You've always been this very nice guy. Personally, like, you know, you're a very sweet person.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not.
He is a very nice. He was at my comedy tape, and he came up to me afterwards and was just the nicest guy ever.
Why did they put you on this?
I love to acknowledge people who are talented. I thought he was really funny.
Let's not get ahead of yourself.
Okay.
Let's go back to the pimp thing before you fucking ruin everything with telling us that he has talent.
Okay, so I'm driving this car. This ridiculous car. I'm carrying two guns.
You have guns?
Not
for
anymore.
For a dentist?
Not anymore. Well, I was licensed in those days. Yeah. And so I was leading a very strange life, and I decided that I wanted to get up to Saturday Night Live. I was making these films at the time, little street films, and they were like faux news stories, like several men were arrested for smearing cream cheese on the ankles of elderly women who wore their stockings rolled down like bagels. You ever see the old women with the stockings on their ankle? It looks like fucking bagels.
Right.
So I got my grandmother, who was so nice. And she actually let me put cream cheese on her ankle. She's like, Jeffrey, only for you would I do
tell
this.
Tell me more.
Is she Italian or Jewish?
No, she's Jewish. She made believe she had a Jewish accent.
Like. Right.
And so I made these films, and the others were like the masters of disguise. They were master criminals who disguised themselves as inanimate objects to commit their crimes. So it started out as two men disguised as coats rob a hat store. They come in over the arms of two other men, and they say, just act natural, like wear your coats, and nobody will get hurt. And
can I just say something right now? I know that comedy back then, like the cream cheese on the ankles. That's the beginning of YouTube, basically, what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But comedy back then was... you know, you weren't. It wasn't into this fucking crazy sex and
exactly.
dirty.
It didn't fit.
So to come up with something like that creatively and film it on your own was actually a pretty big thing back then, and pretty interesting for people to see that because you only saw what the five channels gave
exactly.
you.
So exactly.
So for you as a creative person, just you're a dentist, you're a fucking weirdo, you're doing all kinds of freaky shit.
Two guns.
And then you go.
Infobile.
Then you go and you say, I came up with this funny idea. That looks like a bagel. I'm going to do it. And you filmed it. And for people to see that, that must have blown people away back then.
It actually did. And it's interesting that you understand that because nobody knew where to put it. I pulled up to 30 Rock in that car. I threw the doorman a few bucks and I said, Lorne Michaels is expecting me. And they had no reason to doubt it because... the car spoke for itself. Exactly.
If you weren't on your phone, you would have fucking got it.
Where's my phone?
It was right there. You just put it down, you fuck. I saw you.
He was reading his can of Coke.
What's in your hand?
Nothing's
What'd
in
you
phone.
Just put on the table?
Nothing.
What was in your hand?
It
was
his coat. It's in my coat.
I apologize.
I just got upset because Lewis bullied the joke in.
Look it. I apologize.
Thank you, Robert.
All right. But you did zone out for a minute. Yeah.
No.
Your forehead was on the mic while Jeffrey was talking.
We're listening. We are listening. So,
what are you, from the fucking 1600s? We are listening, sir.
So I pull up there. I tell him Lorne Michaels is expecting me. Now, in those days, you could pull right up in front of 30 Rock. It's not like today where there's like terrorists. Yeah, there's like security. You can't get near the building. But in those days, you could pull right up.
I could.
And I went in and I snuck past security and I got into the elevators and I got up to Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And I got to meet Alan Zweibel, who the show was new. It was like 77.
Right.
And I said, listen, I have these films and I got to show them to you. And he sat down with me. To this day, he remembers cream cheese on the ankles because when you put something together that people have never seen before, it sticks in your mind. It's like, Monty Python-esque shit.
Right.
So He called, he did something, the nicest thing. Instead of just saying to me, here, call my manager, he called him for me. At the time, he was being managed by David Jonas, the guy who discovered Freddie Prinze.
Jonas Brothers' father?
And got him Chico and the Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think he's funny now? This is what he does, though. Just keep going.
Okay.
No, he whips shit out, but he tries to do it in between words now. He used to just go, la, 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 but now he's actually
He verbalizes
he's
things.
He's better.
Which
he's
is
getting
cool.
Better. Yeah. So 9 out of 10 of these are no good, but one, it's going to be
so
really
often,
good.
It's a killer.
It's going to be a killer.
I'm right
killer.
Here.
See? He can
So I get upstairs. Alan Zweibel is playing handball on the wall with Neil Levy, who was a cousin of Lorne Michaels and who was one of the producers on the show.
Right.
I get them to sit down and watch this shit because, for whatever reason, they were just nice to me. Right?
You could never. Here's the deal with this, though. This is why the story is interesting to me. You could never do that today.
Never ever.
Those days remember when a hot chick was in a malt shop and said, well, hey, kid, I want to make you a star.
You're going to be on the movie.
That exactly. fucking existed. Yeah. That happened.
That happened, exactly.
Now, and like this could never happen. You have to go through the chain of command. You have to be in the right agency with the right management at the right fucking time to kind of fast track shit. Other than that, you're going to grind it out, and really it's going to take you years. You'll get there, I believe, but there's none more of this shit. Has a story like this?
It's all a synchronicity too. I mean, because as a kid,
a serendipity,
but also a synchronicity. I always felt that I could meet anybody I wanted to meet, and there were only three people I ever wanted to meet:
me,
Woody Allen. Well, you,
I'm
of
sorry,
course,
Woody, and then me,
Salvador Dali.
You met Salvador? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I spent an evening with Salvador Dali and the Beach Boys.
You made out with Salvador? You made
no,
love?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
well,
the Beach Boys are technically six people.
Yeah,
which one? Did you want Brian?
That's eight people.
He said the Beach Boy.
Brian. He meant Brian Wilson.
He's actually
right?
a gay porn star
they
from the 70s.
They actually showed up at a Friars thing, not too long, the Jack Black roast.
Really?
Two of the Beach Boys were there, and I did an interview with them for my Comedy Matters TV thing.
Right.
It was amazing to see them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Back to that thing. So Alan Zweibel calls David Jonas,
right,
and he agrees to meet with me, and he tries to talk me out of the business. He goes, you're a professional. What do you need this for? And I'm like, you know, when comedy's a drug. If it's part of your life, you can only suppress it for so long,
right,
and then you got to do something with it. Mm. So he got me started. It took me about a year to learn how to craft a joke because I was writing those bizarre scenarios and filming them.
Right.
And so I started writing for Freddie Roman and Dick Capri, who did Catskills on Broadway, and that's how I got to meet Rodney Dangerfield, and I started writing for him in 1980.
Right.
And that's when things started changing.
Rodney became famous at, when did he become, because he was in his 50s when he hit.
Yeah, well, because he was
which
raising
is,
his kids.
Which is, I love
kids.
That. I love
he was
it.
Raising his kids.
Right.
He put the time into his family.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when I started writing for him, we were hanging out together at his club. It was just about that time that he became too big to perform at his own club.
That's Dangerfield.
Dangerfield.
Today was his club.
Was his club. And he used to hang out there. He'd come out and always in a bathrobe and pajamas. That was
get
his thing.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's how, and not a nice bathrobe and pajamas, just an old bathrobe and pajamas. He'd walk around the club like that. And we'd
that's when fucking comedy was, you know.
That's just a level of success I would love to reach.
Yeah, but I love that when
one
people
day I wear a bathrobe.
It's almost like when we were back when I first started in Boston. I used to go to the Knicks, and I used to go to Knicks Comedy Stop, and I'd see Gavin and Sweeney and all these fucking great Noxy and just these unbelievable comics, and they'd go on stage and they'd have a wig or they'd have a mop or they'd fucking someone be in the middle of the joke and he'd run up, you fucking lying cocksucker, and they would just have fun with each other. It was about killing and being funny but having fun. It wasn't just like you go up, do your shit, you go up, do your shit, and then we have fun at the table. They actually brought it up on stage.
Yeah, it was
too.
A very different time. It was a very, very different
time. Did Dangerfield do sets in a robe? In pajamas?
No. He would, as soon as he got off stage, he'd put on his robe and pajamas, and we would sit in the dressing room, and he would say to me, Jeff, what's the difference between Jews and Italians? And I'd be like, I don't know, Rodney, what's the difference? He goes, they both take a leak in the sink, but the Jews take the dishes out first.
Ah, that's
and
fucking...
he would tell me shit like that, and I'd say, you know, we would talk about who's hip, and he'd go, hey, Jeff, you know who's hip? Two guys in the village. That's who's hip. That was it. Two guys in the village. I told. Now to me, that was a good joke.
Hang on, that
it's
should
so
make you
simple.
Feel good, Lewis.
Is he just
not all of them funny?
Not all of them.
Rodney's bombing. He's like, hey, you ever hear about that guy downtown?
That's
he's
very good. That's very good.
He's downtown. I don't know. I'm fucking out of gas. I don't know. I put on the robe. I fall apart. I don't know.
So hang on, Rodney.
Give me the bandana.
Hey, give me the bomb bandana. I'm not doing well. Bobby, you're fat. I don't know where to go. Scopo's got a big butt.
Dangerfield's damn through character. Yes.
That's actually very good. That's a good Rodney.
That was very good. He's a very good Rodney. He's very good at voices.
She is macho man.
Don't
real.
Don't make us hear the macho man story.
There's three people I wanted to meet. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Me too. And I did meet him.
Miss Elizabeth and Junkyard Dog.
And Coco Beware.
Coco was the guy with the bird, right?
Yeah. Frankie.
Frankie. How do you know the bird's name?
I was a huge pro wrestling fan.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, you're Puerto Rican. You would be. Why would you take offense to that?
Because I like pro wrestling.
And I like Puerto Ricans.
Why did comics not write their own material?
Kelly's trying to figure out how to get a writer.
Ah, I knew Lewis had that writer's crosshairs.
Right when she's like, I don't know. So hypothetically, could people still do this?
Kelly's eyes lit up. Wait, writer?
So back then, it's okay. Jeffrey, can I get your number?
Kelly, I'd love to give you a joke, but I can't do a terrible Midwestern accent.
He's really good.
Yeah, yeah, he sounds
like Rodney.
He was supposed to be on radio, not comedy.
That's very good.
I don't know. Maybe gorgeous Dan Soder.
Ask me on stage.
Oh, I hope.
God damn! Don't take it away from the waitresses at the comedy clubs.
No. So how did that work? The writing? You could wait tables, and then whatever money you make, you could give it to somebody to write.
Hypothetically, is it okay to still do that? Do you think people would? Oh, okay. Seriously though, no. Jeffrey, yes. Is it okay for you to write this?
No. Okay.
All right. This is the way I go. I'm fat and I'm from Australia, and my asshole is fucked up. My accent. I want to turn English.
Go.
So Jeff,
comedy was very different in those days.
Unfucking believable.
In answer to your question, yeah, comedians took it for granted that they would work with writers in those days. It was kind of accepted. You know, Milton Berle was my sponsor in the Friars Club.
Yeah.
And I got to actually work with him.
That's
and
crazy.
You see that
was amazing to me. Yes, he showed it to me in the L.A. Friars, and not.
I was joking, but this is amazing.
No, he said to me one day, he'd like to show it to me. He's like, Jeff, you want to see something? And I turned around, and I thought a snake got loose. It was fucking weird.
How big was it? Show me your mouth. Open your mouth.
I actually turned around. It was very big. He and Forrest Tucker were known as the Twin Towers. It was crazy.
That can't be taken down by terrorism.
Yeah.
That's how I got to meet Milton. I wrote jokes about his cock.
Really?
I was at a Friars roast. Then I did a joke that he wound up using as his opening line. If Burl's cock had a blonde wig, it could pass for Paul Williams.
Oh.
And he's
Paul Williams wasn't happy about that.
It's funny because I met Paul Williams and he's such a nice guy.
And everybody.
I couldn't tell him that joke.
Why?
I was because I was afraid it would offend him because he's such a nice guy.
You know what someone said to me about our live show, which we're going to get into a little later. Someone said to me when you guys were coming up and I was fucking with you, and as you guys sat down, we started fucking with whoever was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded them of how the roast used to be. Like,
fun.
The roasts they do now are so set up and so staged.
Yeah, and mean.
And they're, well...
They're very mean-spirited. They're
mean.
Absolutely.
But they're mean-spirited because they don't like each other.
Yeah.
They don't know each other. You hired a famous comedian or whatever... And you gave them 10 writers, and they wrote the meanest jokes possible because you have to outdo each other. But what we were doing, it was that fucking funny, we all give a shit about each other. And it was really, you could tell. Like, that was like kind of like some people's favorite part of the night when you guys were doing your stand-up and we were fucking with each other. Which, you know, was back in the day, the roast they used to do back in the day. Yes, they told these lines, but they also went off on each
other.
We
also asked each other before I wrote for people, like, is there anything that would hurt your feelings that you don't want us to talk about?
Right.
Because we respected stuff, you know, we respected things like that. There are some people who were sensitive about certain things.
Right.
The idea in those days was not really to hurt somebody's feelings. The meanest roast was the third Chevy Chase roast. He really took it hard. None of his friends showed up, and he actually got up at the end of the roast and he said, I want you to know that this really hurt me. And it was a very weird moment for
I heard
everybody.
Danny Aiello cried, though.
Isn't he a...
Danny Aiello cried.
At the Chevy Chase roast?
He cried at his roast.
Oh, at his roast.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's really
he
hard.
He cried because
be
he was like, I do a lot. He was just so sad because he made his show be in New York and, you know, he fought for the New York actors and... And he really got trashed. And then he cried. He's like, you know, I really love this city and I love the people here. And I was just trying to bring a show here. And
he's a very sensitive. He was a bouncer at the Improv. Did you know that?
No,
that's how
not.
He got started.
The Improv.
When Bud Friedman opened the Improv in '63, it started as a coffee shop.
Yeah.
There was really not a lot of comedy there. It was singers, actors. He built it especially for Broadway actors to have a place to hang out.
Right.
And it wasn't until around '65 that he turned it into a strictly comedy club because more people were coming for the comedians. And Danny Aiello was his bouncer because he was out of work. He was working.
What a fucking
Amtrak.
Age. And now, yeah. Now, if you want to go, it's on 44th between 9th and 10th, closer to 9th. It's a great Italian restaurant, Giovanni's, but they kept, if you go there, you can have lunch, but they kept the original brick wall.
Oh, did they
and
really?
They have a plaque yeah. of all the comics that performed.
Which is, oh, which cool. is one block away from Danny LOL Aiello. Comedy Club.
That's why Danny Aiello opened
I'll
a comedy
Saturday
club.
Night,
I don't know if you know, he had a club called Danny's Upstairs. Club.
Where?
In New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And it was above an Italian restaurant because that's, you know, that started his love for comedy.
Right.
Because he's been a comedy guy, even though he's a great actor and all.
Right.
He's always been into comedy.
So,
you know, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, no, buddy, go ahead.
Danny Aiello also improvised the line, Michael Corleone says hello in The Godfather Part 2.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. No shit.
And the American Film Institute ranked it as like the 68th greatest line in history.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Danny. I
he's
love
a
Danny
super guy.
He's a great guy, but he's a great actor, guy. Too. Remember when he was in the... He was in Harlem Nights and Eddie Murphy. Breathe very small breaths. And then they cut and Danielle was just sitting there and went. Just one little. All right, nice talking to you.
Fucking I know the scene.
I love that Lewis can't do regular conversation.
He's like, when should I implode?
When should I just talk about how fat fucking Kelly is?
Do you guys want me to yell out something?
Do you guys want me to be me? Look at him. He's just shut down emotionally.
In 1965, could you call people faggot?
Whoa, I don't a use lot. That word. You know that.
Look at him. He's resting his hand, you know, his finger on his fucking head. You just, you can't deal with regular conversation.
I'm taking a trip down fucking memory lane, motherfucker.
I'll tell you something.
Fucking
funny.
Wikipedia Joe List over here just dropped some knowledge on me. I'm happy about it.
Milton Berle was one of the best MCs ever at
Big
a Friars Roast.
Guy.
But he always said, don't work blue. That was his advice to all comedians.
Right
work
after
blue.
He pulled his dick out.
And have you,
I know.
While he had his dick out, he would be like, "Don't remember, Jeffrey, don't work blue.
That's
but
great.
Does it, nobody knows why
Mickey
that
Rooney,
color,
Mickey,
blue. Why blue associated with vulgar material? You have any idea why
no.
blue?
Are you going to tell me?
No, no. I even asked Danny Paul Ayala. Schaefer. I even asked Paul Schaefer, who was the hippest man in show business, obviously.
Right.
And he had no idea. But he was interested in it. I can't. Nobody seems to know. Blue material. Why that means?
Because blue is sad. Blue is depressing. Blue is in psychology is a not a a good color. It's a bad color.
Blue is the wrongest color.
Well, to be blue
in spiritual.
I'm just
terms,
making this shit
blue,
up. I thought one of you would jump on with me. And
I'm gonna let you sink.
Blue is the fifth chakra.
Is it?
In terms of it's about communication and change. So it's a very powerful color. But for some reason, it's always been associated with vulgarity.
Well, you know, Mickey Rooney said that to Norton too. I have a great picture of Mickey yelling at Norton.
Don't
That's
work
serious.
Blue.
Yeah, he was like, don't work blue. And he was yelling at Norton. And Norton was like, go fuck you. Like, fuck you, you fucking.
Well, you know the Eddie Murphy story when he was on SNL? When he first started on SNL, Gene Dumanian was producing SNL for 1 year.
Right.
Right? And one night they were running short, and she asked Joe Piscopo if he would do 5 minutes at the end. Now, Joe was a big fan of Eddie's, so Joe said, why don't you ask Eddie? So Eddie called Richie Tinkin in a panic, and he goes, Richie, they want me to do 5 minutes. Richie's like, that's great. So what's the problem? He goes, well, I curse. So Richie's like, well, don't fucking curse. So he does the 5 minutes, saves the show, and he cursed. But so it came time to renew his contract, and Richie goes in to meet with Gene, and she goes, yeah, I'm going to renew his contract. And Richie's like, as what? He goes, as a featured player. He was making $750 a week. And Richie's like, he saved your show. Don't you think you should make him a contract player? And she did. And he jumped from $750 to $3,000 a week. And that's when Richie started taking
his
percentage.
That's all he made was $3,000
a week
on SNL?
As a contract player in those days, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what he makes on fucking Guy Code.
And mm-hmm. But they were making
that's
$750
a freaking Guy Code.
For 14. Is that really what you make?
No. I
that was less than that.
Yeah, you guys make $4 a fucking head.
We have to pay them.
That's pretty crazy that he made that. Now, let me ask you a question. I've always wanted to be in the Friars Club.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck do you get into it? Because I know guys that are in it that probably shouldn't be in it.
Granted, Bobby thinks it's about deep frying food.
You,
you can sponsor me.
What you thinking in? Yeah,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. So you need two people.
You need two people.
What
all right, who else do I know that's the in seller. The Friars Club?
Me and Richie Tinkin will sponsor you.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love, and now you can go there and have dinner.
You could do anything.
Lunch.
You could have meetings there. It's a beautiful. It's a mansion on 55th Street, Park in Madison.
Can I bring people in?
Absolutely.
Like even if they're not in the Friars Club to have a meeting.
No, once you're a member.
Yeah.
You can bring in anybody you want. And they have like the Milton Berle Room and the Billy Crystal Bar, and you could go wherever you want. Man.
I've done comedy in there. Absolutely. Aaron Haber has it. Aaron Haber,
yeah, Aaron Haber does like Thursday nights.
He's a show.
Yeah. Who's the fuck Aaron? Cool. Who's Aaron?
I've done it.
I want to do a show there.
Just being a jerk off somewhere?
No, absolutely. If that's something that you're interested in,
I want to do that. That is my. Sure. I would love to do that.
I'd be
that.
Honored to bring you.
Really? I would love to.
I was 100% serious about that last statement.
It's fucking comedy history.
Well, yeah, because here's the deal. You got a million stories about comedy, but you say that you I know you're a fan of comics. I know you're a fan of good comedy. And here you are the other night at Access Live, a friend Louis J. Gomez, who I'll say it. I know you guys fuck with each other, but he did a great job.
Yeah.
No.
I misread your tone.
I don't like his new maniacal laugh he worked on at his house. Hey, B, what do you think of this one? I don't know. Fuck you. I know. Listen. That's the way the argument went. All right, whatever. I think you did a great job. I was watching it.
Last joke didn't do that great, but
wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Scopo taking
that night
a shot.
That I was there, you know, first, I love Chris Mazzilli and I love Gotham and I go there all the time.
You're at the Comedy Cellar. Chill out, okay?
Yeah. Well, look, Noam is so cool that he actually talked about my book, which is about the strip, on the Comedy Cellar podcast.
Right, yeah.
You know, people respect certain things.
We respect each other.
Absolutely. But there's no question about that.
So you're there at the club. And look,
at the club.
I'm going to say this. Not everybody was great on that show.
Absolutely not.
Not everybody was great. I mean, everybody did good. Everybody did a good job.
Can you tell us the lineup and then I'll try
name,
to guess.
Names.
So I don't even know the lineup, to be honest with you.
It was Mandrinos, then me, then Nick Vatterott, then Will Sylvans.
Who hosted?
I love Will Sylvans.
Angela Johnson. Angela
I love Will Sylvans.
Will Sylvans is so Vatterott. Fucking funny.
Amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if you...
Angela
know.
Johnson's amazing?
No, Nick Vatterott.
Nick Vatterott.
I co-produced a benefit for Haiti in 2010 starring Kevin Hart, and Tony Rock was the feature, and Will Sylvans came in and fucking
he showed up on
him.
A raft.
He killed it. It was the first time anybody knew what he was saying.
Yeah, why you do that to me?
That was a good Will Sylvans.
That was great.
Why you bring that to my house? He's fucking hysterical.
He's the best.
He's
I had him
got shirts made now.
I had him do my read a couple weeks ago for Hulu Plus. He couldn't say Hulu. Hulu.
Yeah.
Hulu. It was the funniest.
Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus.
They tried to do a Haitian comedy festival a few years ago when 42nd Street was still open, the Laugh Factory. There were so few Haitian comedians, the opening act was a white guy.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. Wilson Vince was the only official
he
Haitian
had AIDS,
comedian.
So,
so that brought him a little closer, right?
It's a stretch.
Gee, can you fucking gong yourself in the head?
What? That was funny.
Just because of
that
you.
That was a funny joke.
That was all right.
That was funny.
No, it's not. It's your typical AIDS joke.
I know. You used to AIDS a lot.
You do. You have AIDS just in the gun
The best part about that is that Lewis thinks that Haiti is in Africa.
Yeah.
That's not true. Actually, Haiti has a huge HIV population.
No, not as bad as Africa.
No, well, half the people in Africa have AIDS. Different.
No, that's not true.
Actually, there are parts of Africa where nearly 50% of the people have AIDS.
Yeah, you could say that about a fucking village.
No. Country, motherfucker. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Look
so
it up.
With these
I like Louis J. Gomez's approach to raising awareness of AIDS in Africa, where he goes, look it up, motherfucker.
Yeah, 50% of the whole fucking continent
fucking dropping
has fucking
dead.
AIDS. No, they don't.
I guarantee there's like, it's like 46% of certain countries.
Of certain countries, but not the whole country.
First of all, it's
the whole
a continent.
Country.
I said.
I mean, the continent.
Multiple
that's what
countries.
I meant.
I never said continent. You did.
No, all right. I thought you were saying continent. You said Africa, which means continent. You said Africa.
Play it back.
Did he not say Africa?
It could mean the song.
I felt the rain down in Africa.
Fucking Toto, man.
Fucking Toto, man.
Fucking welcome
fucking
back to Toto.
Back DJ voice.
Hey, that was a double shot of Toto, which was Africa twice.
And next we got Striper.
Yeah, get ready for some docking.
But you're sitting there in the crowd, you're watching all the show, and then you see this fucking ass.
And they're like, they taught a monkey to speak.
But one thing I noticed too, you look good on camera. No, you did.
He did. He looked great.
You look great.
You do.
You have your own little style. And
you had good presence, man.
You had great presence. Yeah. You did your jokes great.
Audience liked him.
He's likable, but he's a piece of shit. Which I like. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's true to his fucking shittiness, mm-hmm. but he's very likable,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which I think is the essence of Lewis.
That yeah. night he just did well, and I wanted him to know, you know, like, there's a thing about creative people. They need to be reaffirmed,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's one thing where comics rag on each other all the time. For right. some reason, that seems to be part of the thing that yeah. people do. But yeah. but I come from a different place. You know, I also write, you know, my Comedy Matters blog. I never write if somebody did something bad, then there's a reason for that. If I don't like what you did, I don't write about it. Because right. I respect everybody that gets up on a stage, because I know how fucking hard it is to get up on a stage
right.
and do what you think is funny.
Right.
And so I won't write if somebody has a yeah. bad.
So you've
set.
Never written anything about Joe List.
I never
write.
No.
Okay.
I never write
why
about anything.
Should
but,
you?
But when I see somebody who does something good, I believe.
You've actually written about me a couple times.
But when I see somebody who does
Shut
something
up.
Good, I believe
fucking
in telling
Joe
them.
Can't take one hit. No, Mr. Serious.
I let the joke get its laugh, then paused, and said, "You actually have mentioned me a couple times."
Yes,
I appreciate
that's right.
it.
No, well.
He doesn't remember.
If I see
that's
that somebody,
a lot of names in that head, Joe.
If I see that somebody does something good, I
right.
go out
Most
of my way
of
to tell
right
them.
Now.
I think
right.
it's important to do that.
Right.
Because comics go off and they wonder, did I really do well? Did people enjoy it? And whatever. And I like to do that. It makes me feel good to tell somebody, I think you're good, man. I think you have something going on. And you were very close to Patrice.
Yes.
So, you know, Patrice and I had a very interesting relationship. We were very close. I was his third co-host on the Black Phillip show.
Right.
And people used to say, we never put each other down. We didn't have that kind of relationship. We
yeah.
didn't make fun of each other
yeah,
in any kind of way.
Yeah.
We just didn't do that. I didn't relate to him on that level.
You're not that guy.
I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
Exactly.
I've never done that with you either.
No.
You're just not that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And what are you saying, Jeffrey, that like comics aren't supposed to make fun of each other?
No, if it makes you comfortable to do that, I always wonder why people do that. It's
why?
Like,
why do they do that, Jeffrey?
It's
why?
It's a form of bullying.
Oh, is it?
Well,
oh, that's
interesting.
This is segueing into something that I wanted to talk about. You know, I went on the internet, and Lewis says I yelled at him. I didn't yell at him. I talked to him. But you consider it being yelled at. It's just, I get disappointed.
Threatened to kick me off the show.
I did not. You're out of your mind.
You don't listen to yourself, Bob.
I did not. I would never kick you off the show. I would
a lot
never.
Of people don't listen
I,
to Bobby.
I never.
He articulated how many people in the world don't like me. A
no,
lot.
That's not it. That's not it. You hear what you want to hear. You're not listening
not
to what I'm
hear
saying.
That.
You know, seriously, you fucking hear what you want to hear. I said to you that I don't like to fucking have negative shit around this show. The thing I like about you is that you're a protector. You're not a destroyer. All right. No matter how fucking crazy or mean or fucked up things you say, you really give a shit about the people you care about, and you protect them. You don't fucking rip people down and hurt them. That's why I like you, because you look like you'd be that guy,
well,
a bully.
I am the new knockout champion in Jersey City. So,
but. But what I was saying to you is that I said there's a lot of people that I got when you first came on the show. A lot of people didn't like you. A lot of people sent emails. What this fucking guy? And Joe's pointing. Yeah.
You know how long it takes to set up a fake Gmail? Joe and I were busy.
But I don't care. I don't care about that. I know that you're funny. I know that you're a good person, and I know you're coming from a good place. Even when you get carried away, so those people, if I acknowledge these people or perpetuate it or let it go on, I explain to them in the emails, you don't understand, he's very funny, he's kidding around, he's fucking hilarious, blah 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 blah. And people come around to you, and I've talked about it on the show, the guy that fucking hated you, I've said it on the show that we all care about each other. Anybody I have on the show, for the regulars, even the other comics like you're talking about, I give a shit about comics. People are afraid to do this show because of what the fuck goes on this show. There's people starting to be like, I don't want to be around it because I can't handle it. That's not what I want.
I don't want that.
Who's afraid to do the show?
It's none of your business.
Of fucking homo is afraid to do the show.
I understand what you're
because
saying.
Because of that shit like that right there.
But I felt like I was walking into a family thing, to be honest with you. I understand what you're saying, but I think comedians are smart. They're wordsmiths. And if you can get them to have a conversation, a lot of interesting shit comes out.
Here's the thing, though, is that, you know, like the thing that I was talking about is this, I don't even know his fucking name.
Don't say his name.
No, whatever. I don't know his name.
School shooter face?
Yeah.
Say his name.
No time, because he's only got one follower.
Just shut the fuck up and let me say this. What I'm saying is...
Okay, very nice. Well, family environment.
Well, because you guys are talking... Who gives a fuck about this guy? You guys are talking about this fucking horse shit. What I'm saying is this... That is your family environment, by the way. You should feel comfortable.
I was like, yeah,
this is way less violent than my family environment.
Yeah.
So... What I'm saying is that I get on the thing, and I don't mind when people trash Kelly, me, you, fatso, dummy, monkey, fucking flat face,
what?
Small mouth. You know what I mean?
That's insensitive, buddy. Let's stick to the task at hand here.
But I go on the fucking, I go on Twitter, and I read this guy's feed, and it's literally just fucking attacking Kelly over and over and over. Fucking, you're not funny. Fuck you. KellyFestukaSucks.com. Oh, and then I read all this other shit. I'm like, what the? I understand it. I get it. But there comes a point where it's like, all right, can we move the fuck on?
Well, I'll deactivate the account, Bobby. Yeah. All right.
I make too much money on t-shirts.
By the way, you guys can go to my, let me just say this. You guys can go to my new website, KellyFestukaSFunnyForAGirl.com. It's brand new.
There's something about anonymity that allows people to be really fucking nasty.
Yeah. Well, this guy only has one speed. Anonymous. I just read all of his tweets and he has one speed.
It's fuck you, die. Go. And here's the thing. When he tweeted back to me, I was like, I wrote back, okay, thank you. I can block you now because you're not a fan. No. You're a fan of Lewis, but he's really not even a fan of him.
He turned on me. I said one nice thing about Kelly.
I'll tell you what he's a fan of. Negativity. He's a exactly. bully.
That's why he's got school shooter face.
So let me get this. So you can pick on a fucking chick who's been doing it for a girl who's been doing it 3 years.
Let's say
just
three.
Fucking just attack her. Over and over. That's fucking somehow a that's cool.
Wait, what has she been doing for 3 years?
That's a book. That's exactly what we're talking about.
I really want to have this conversation, Lewis. I know you're joking, but I really want to have this conversation because I'm really this needs to be fucking said.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I know you're gonna fucking throw your quips in every second, but I want you to fucking really not disengage from this. I really want you and everybody to fucking. I want to talk about this.
There's people online that feel entitled to just criticize everything. That guy doesn't make shit. He doesn't make anything.
Yeah, but
so all he does is destroy shit by going after Kelly. Kelly's trying. Kelly's giving a good effort. So
I don't even give a fuck. What Kelly, you
it's
do
not
what
even
you do.
About, it's not
well,
even
do
about
what
Kelly,
you fucking
yeah.
do. I don't care. That's up to you how funny you are, how you progress in your career.
Mm. And God.
But here's the thing is that I saw it was this stuff that Lewis was perpetuating with your Kelly stinks. Every fucking show, it's about Kelly sucking. Kelly stinks. She's not funny. Kelly, and it's funny, and I get it. But then there's the fucking website. Now you're building up these people that are fucking rallying behind fuck somebody on this show. And it's not because you're a girl. You're not a hole either. I didn't have you on the show because I wanted a woman's fucking point of view. You're on the show because you wanted to help out. That's it. I can do this. You're not on the show because you were the funniest chick I've ever met. I can do this. You wound up being on the show. Scopo, the same thing. Okay? You guys are
Scopo is the funniest chick I've ever met.
Scopo is the whole of the show.
Yeah. And I take pride in that, all right? Just let everyone know that.
But, you know, I don't want to fucking be on a show that's going to hurt you guys. I don't want people to come on the show and not have them help them. I want all this. We should all be fucking helping each other.
Exactly.
This business is way too hard. We can have fun. We can fuck around. But when you start believing your own hype and you believe the accolades and you start fucking getting fans because, you know, oh my God, I've never had fucking fans and these people are on my side and you gotta check them because look what you did. You checked them. And all of a sudden, he's like, fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's what I here's what I said about Kelly. I said, look, Kelly's literally, do that last episode we did, well, you weren't there, Soder. If Kelly wasn't in the room, we would have fucking talked about nothing. We would have stared at our fucking hands. Mm. Yeah. Like Kelly's Pussy Sis, that shit was...
I gave the room a gift.
Bananas, okay?
Yeah. And hilarious.
An amazing show. Mm-hmm. Kelly is a very important ingredient in the show, and I truly do believe that.
Let's not get carried away.
No, she is. Look, no, here's the truth. In a cake, there's all these ingredients. Like, nobody's just drinking vanilla extract on its own. That'd be gross.
I've done that. This is horrible.
But you need the vanilla extract in order to make the fucking cake, and that's what Kelly is. She's vanilla extract.
And you need a guy to make terrible analogies on a podcast.
Vanilla extract is what she has coming out of her pussy.
There we go.
Vanilla extract.
What you're saying is very important.
Talking
about
the mic.
It's about camaraderie.
You hear that?
Yeah, it's about camaraderie. And well, there isn't enough of that. Look, and that's when, you know, it's fine to put people
don't
down.
Don't leave them hanging.
Oh, yeah. Geez. Oh, Soder posted a picture of me on Instagram today, and I added 6 new Instagram followers.
There you go,
but do you understand, like, honestly,
I'm not letting go the rest of the show.
They're holding hands. But that's the shit that the fans of this show, however many there are,
300.
I want them to fucking know that, you know, I don't want it to be I want them to fucking go see you. I don't want people to hate you and think you're I want them to understand you know what? If you're on the show, there's something about you that's good or funny. You know, and the new people on the show, people are scared to come on the show. I mean, that's the word. Mm-hmm. That people are like, I don't want to just be gunned down.
It's now, mostly because I break down crying every time I tell people about the show.
But don't you kind of like that too, though?
Listen,
doesn't that fucking add a mystique of funness? People are like, I don't know, that's not really you like this.
Funness is not a word.
I personally fucking love it. People are like, I don't know, I'm not really my thing. And you're like, you're fucking right, it's not your thing.
But it,
stay out of here.
That's Joe's Bostonian coming out.
You want to fucking fight with me? Dude, you, dude. But here's the proof.
Tom Brady.
We have Jeff in here, and he's doing fine. He's interesting. There's stories. There's shit. I love hearing stuff like that. And he's sitting here. You can come on the show. We're not fucking assholes. We're not mean people. We're funny people. There's a big difference between mean and funny.
Very big difference.
And what the fuck goes on, and I don't... You're not mean to me, Lewis. I wasn't yelling at you. I was like, dude, I don't... This shit disappoints me when I see this fucking asshole.
And what did I say to you, though? I said, me and Kelly already had a conversation.
We had a very good
conversation.
We're
in a good place
right
now.
What was that conversation?
We fucked, and then I said, Kelly, get me a pizza.
And they rolled over, and he's like, oh, yeah. I've been waiting for that.
Yeah, but how did you come to that realization? Can you talk about that?
No. I was
because people fucking treated you like shit.
Yeah, and I was explaining.
People fucking didn't think you were funny, said negative shit about you. People that should be supporting you should be helping you weren't. They were actually fucking you and making you feel like shit in your life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you realize that because it was like enough. Because now you have people who actually give a shit about you and help you and believe in you. And that's a whole new thing for you. Right?
It's true.
And now this one, I don't give a fuck. Kelly, if you make it, you make it. That's up to you. I'm fucking right, don't write.
We're gonna make it after all.
Until she does that.
See, but this is what
you
makes
know what?
A great show.
What's his name? What's the call? He's right. Fuck.
School shooter face.
Get that fucking website back up. Get that Quebec fucking loser back on.
It was really interesting because that day there, we were talking and you just, like, Lewis was just telling a story about something happened and I was like, oh, that's really shit, Lou. I'm like, do you realize that's exactly what you do to me? And he went, no, it's different. And it was like a pause. He went, okay, I got it.
Well,
and
then, look, the truth of the matter, it is different, but I get the sentiment and I get, like, I don't do anything everything I do in my career, every fucking minute I'm awake, every decision, every phone call I make, it's all about getting myself further in my career. And that's the same thing with you. And we should all respect that. And nobody's paying attention because the studio's falling apart.
Because Joe's got to go in and get a candy bar because his energy level's down. You fucking
it was going to be a good bit. I had a good thing that was going to happen and I knocked over.
Look, he's got to keep his immune system up.
Take the Bobby and put him away. Bobby's
done. Bobby. Put the Bobby over there.
Lay him on the bed.
No, Bobby, this show.
Jeffrey Gurian's in the studio.
Hey, it's Artie.
So I wanted to say that when you were saying...
Talking to the mic, Jeff.
That when you were talking...
Hear the difference?
Yeah, I hear the great
difference.
Stay right
there.
Okay, I am moving.
All right, go ahead.
All right, cool. No, I think it's very important that you brought that up, and I like the idea. I think this is going to be a great show, that when you think back about this show, you're talking about something real.
Right.
Right? I think comedians are really smart. They're wordsmiths. They know how to...
We're also
they play
we're,
with words.
We also know psychology. I think that comics, yes. for all the fucking dick jokes that we do, where we can size somebody up in seconds.
3 seconds. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the situation.
And you know whether people and make you dicks. Comfortable or not. Right?
Yeah.
And I think and so comedians have a lot to say. And so yeah. it's not just about putting each other down. Guys seem to feel that they need to do that. And that's
well,
why I was talking
look
about
it. There's
and
something,
it starts in fucking high school.
It's something hilarious when comics attack each other who care about each other. There's nothing funnier on earth.
That's great.
Exactly.
There's nothing funnier on earth.
Lewis. But you made the point that some people are afraid to come on the show. When I listened to the show before I came on,
yeah.
it occurred to me.
No.
You know, that the shit might go down, but I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can handle whatever it is.
Right.
But you know, because I wanted to be on with you.
Look, and Joe, I agree with you. I mm-hmm. this show is...
what?
This show, can we turn the lights off? Because fucking Dan is being hypnotized.
It's distracting.
Yeah, yeah, dude, this is the fifth time I've looked over and you're just staring into the lights.
Because it's going okay? green,
well,
it's
what
blue.
Are you, what the fuck are you, a baby?
I'm a stoner. There's
are you
pretty
high?
Much... No, not high, but I'm, I can be.
Joe, I...
It's a bright light.
I understand yes. what you're saying. This does have a mystique. It is a fucking rough room, but
yeah, not anybody should be able to do it.
Not anybody, but here's the thing. Anybody can come in and try. Anybody can come in the room and sit down.
Clearly.
And I'm not a...
nice point to kill.
I'm not gonna... I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not into that shit. I'm really not.
And that's
why
cool.
are you laughing?
I got a funny sentence. I'm not into hurting people's feelings.
I'm really not that's into funny. People making You're feel like, good. You know, I feel like shit when I come off this show. I love when Joe's like, I love this show. I love
Absolutely.
Doing this show.
That's, and that's how it should be. That's
and exactly I love when somebody I don't know comes in here and they sit down and we have a blast. We have like Phil when he came in and Mike Lawrence. Is that his name? Mike Lawrence? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike with the you know? Beard.
Yeah.
With the big beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the Brooklyn comedy look these days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't
wait,
like that?
You have to look like
he just,
it's called Lawrence a Hack.
He just oh. fucking talked about not trashing people.
No, I didn't trash him. Mike Lawrence is hysterically that, funny. But
not
I
not rock and roll enough
I,
for you.
I always talk to him about his beard. I That's think true. It's very interesting that there's a section of the city where if you do comedy, you must have a large beard.
Yeah, it
to
is
me,
a
it's,
thing.
It's like it's a thing, man. It's yeah, a fucking well, thing.
Phil was my wreck.
You have to look like the Unabomber, like you just left a small cabin in the woods.
Bobby, I want to
say think it's
yeah, go ahead.
Something about Lewis the other night. He actually, even though he busts my balls, he does help me. I did a set, and you came over to me, and you were like, "No, don't do that last joke the way you did it." And, no, I did something.
Dude, he goes like this. He gets the light. Yeah, I'm hosting a show. He gets the light, and then he starts going into crowd work. Like, and he still has a bit to do. He's got a minute left.
He panicked.
He fucking, yeah. he was searching for something. I
but
was like,
you know what? You helped me, though. Now I know.
You shouldn't do crowd work when you get the light. Go and do a joke.
There's nothing worse than someone getting the light and being like, what do you do? You're
yeah.
like, well, you're not getting off.
That's exactly what he said.
5 fucking minutes.
even like when I watched your set on Access TV, I'm watching it and I want to give you value. Dude, you did a great job. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say it to the fans of this show. You're fucking funny. There was things that you did. You kept looking to the right. You know, you weren't.
No, Bobby called me and for 45 minutes we had a conversation about the set and he gave me fucking pointers. Yeah. And it was all amazing shit. You know, you don't really get, that's an invaluable thing to have somebody who has 42, 43 years experience in the business call you up and
I was
give
gonna,
you some
I was
fucking
ask
gems.
You that. What? If you know, if people help each other with their lines, like well, if you see a friend and you think that you could make his line funnier, would you feel funny telling him?
Me and Norton do it all the time. All the time. Me at that Comedy Cellar table, mm-hmm. I do it. I've asked for lines. Amy, you know.
Schumer?
Schumer has done that a bunch of times. And Colin will come up and say, yeah, we do that a lot. I think we don't do it enough. Cool. I don't think we do it enough.
Well, there's like egos involved. Like
it used to be more popular. It was a more popular thing.
But who gives a fuck? If I have the premise, I understand now that if you have to come up with your own voice. You mm-hmm. have to have your own outlook on shit. But I would love if fucking Joe gave me a line or one of you guys were like, hey, this is funnier. Yeah. And I think when you're doing a special, too, I think if you're putting together an hour, that I would, you know, dude, come watch this set. Tell me where it needs to
well,
be touched up.
That's what Rock does.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All fucking
the
famous.
Rock? Yeah, The Rock when he does an hour of stand-up.
He's wow. so funny.
I'll tell you, you know, Lewis's energy makes him invaluable and also dispensable all at the same time. Oh, that fucking, when he goes into that range of uncle humor. Yeah, where really he's like, what is that? Oh, The Rock? Your mom was a whore in high school. All right. Look at my little gong thing, the idea that I had.
Need to drink
That's it. 20 years late.
It really is the uncle. He really is.
Well, who's going to be there? The Rock? Just kidding. All right. You want a burger or a hot dog?
Why don't we say fucking get a burger, hot dog, and ice cream?
You look like you could want both. I'm just kidding.
Your mom's going to kill me. Again.
Your Uncle Steve's gay.
But I yes, what are you doing?
He's lighting us.
I was lighting the bit.
Because it's not short and quippy. So
where'd you get that shirt? Where'd you get that shirt?
I have.
No, I'm being the fucking comic on stage.
Oh, can I answer for real now?
Yeah,
I have three of the exact same shirt. I just wear it all the time. It's a beer shirt. Can I try a bit right now? What do you think of this?
Go ahead.
All my shirts are alcohol related. I quit drinking. People give me shit for it. It's like I rooted for a team my whole life, and then they moved away, and now I just have to still.
You could do
it. There's a premise there. There's something there.
But the funnier thing is not that the team moved away, that the team was destroying you. That's the funnier part.
Oh, that could be funny.
Yeah.
And then some guy was like, "Wait, you don't drink and you're wearing a Guinness shirt?" He was wearing a polo shirt.
Okay, this is going to go very 60s. Quick, pull the Milton Berle and just pull your dick out.
Does anybody have any cream cheese?
You don't
want to see that. Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Kelly has some in her pants.
Kelly, your pussy's gross.
Weird.
Hey, mate.
I was thinking cottage cheese.
That made Lou good what? Now, though. Lou, a lot of people ask me, like, does Lou really... Do you and Lewis really hate each other?
No, I'm look, like, here's the thing, dude.
No, wait.
Yes, they do.
I'm like, Lewis is my brother. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love him to death. You know, he's done a lot for me.
She's my sister, but like a black thing. That's the way I'm doing it.
No.
Thanks, Chef. no, I don't. Look, me and Kelly are fucking friends. When when a guy almost hit her with a can outside of the stand, I almost fucking beat the. I almost went to jail for her that
night. Well, that's also because you had an untamed temper.
You're an animal.
Here's the thing, though. Everybody's going to get. You know, you're not funny, you stink, whatever.
I thought you were giving away prizes. I was like, what?
Looking under my seat. Please tell me it's a picture of me and my dad.
Are you an only child?
No, I got an older sister.
You do?
Yeah.
Where?
Ooh. Can I tell Rockland County? Lewis pulled the greatest move ever on Nate and I about 6 years ago. We're at Nate's old place.
By the way, my sister has since lost weight.
Okay, but he's going through MySpace.
Hey,
he's going through MySpace.
She was really fat.
He's going through MySpace pictures, and he's like, look at this chick. Look at this pig that I fucked. And Nate and I are like, oh, that's so gross. He goes, that's my sister. It's my sister, you dick. And we're like, what? Why would you do that?
Do you understand? That's why I love Lewis.
That's hilarious.
Because he's out of his fucking mind.
But he was like, he sold it so well to Nate and I. He's like, look at this dumb
dude,
pig.
Dude, I did that with DeRosa. DeRosa started talking about Beatrice before he knew we were together. Because Beatrice worked at Eastville.
No,
he's like,
God,
that waitress is really hot. I was like, yeah, dude, she is, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, God. I was like, what would you do to her? He's like, oh, fuck, man, what I would do. I was like, it's my fucking girlfriend, bro.
What'd he say?
He was like, oh, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to just
fold it into himself and slid under the door.
Try to turn it to Dean Martin. Let me get you a drink. On me. I fucked up. My bag.
Hey, listen,
that's
pal.
That's not me, pal.
Buddy.
Hey, babe.
Let me get your joke.
Two scotches on me, babe.
I love that.
Listen, man.
Hey, it's old Joey Roses.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, getting back to this and just cleaning up this topic before we go to break, because I think Joe has to pee, right?
For sure.
Scopo's chair is about to break.
He needs a beanbag for that butt.
That ass.
You're fatter than me.
Oh. Yeah, but my ass isn't.
But yeah, Lewis is more proportioned.
Your body weight will fucking break the chair.
Why do you have to make it real, dude?
Because this fucking stupid fucking joke you did.
Whoa. Chris, look at your head.
What was the joke?
My ass will break the chair when it's really body
weight. Does that hurt your feelings, Chris?
It hit me a little
bit. Scopo's ass is like Thor's hammer.
Oh, that was
it's 900 billion elephants.
When I beat up people, I just sit on them and they fucking go.
He Yokozuna's
them. Bobby just talked about this. We're all supposed to be nice.
No.
And that's he's not... fatter than both of you, so it's fine. Relax.
And that. All right, let's go to break and do some ads. All right, we'll be back in fucking 2 seconds.
We'll be back.
guess it was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me.
So check it out, everybody. Go to tweakedaudio.com. We love Tweaked Audio. I love headphones. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's listening to music or talking on your phone. And there's one thing you can count on with headphones. You will lose them. And with tweakedaudio.com, right now, the fans of this show, you get hooked up. Go there, use the code word DUDE, and you get 33% off. Free shipping, lifetime limited warranty. And they got a bunch of different styles and sizes, mic'd, non-mic'd. And they're durable. They're good. And if you lose them, they only cost you a few bucks because of us. So there you go. You'll have another pair. Buy more than one. The holiday season's coming up. Nothing better than a pair of headphones as a gift. A stocking stuffer, if you will. Or, I don't know, hang it off a Hanukkah tree. Is that how Jewish people do it? I don't know. Anyways, tweakedaudio.com. 33% off, free shipping, lifetime limited warranty. Use the code word DUDE. And also, go to riotcast.com/Robert Kelly, the YKWD page on Riotcast. And this holiday season, when you're buying all your gifts off of Amazon, use our link. You'll be hooking us up, hooking them up, hooking yourself up. If you're a fan of the show, use the Amazon link on Riotcast. When you're going to buy that big plasma, if you're buying socks, don't bother. But if you're going to buy something big, maybe somebody's pregnant and they're getting a baby carriage or a nice, you know, $5,000 smart TV, use our link for God's sakes. Hook us up. And also, if you're a video game junkie, if you just got the new Xbox One or the new Sony, here, check it out. Gamefly.com, the Netflix of video gaming. Make sure you go there. Go to gamefly.com/YKWD. That's our page. Get 2 weeks free. Or it's 15 days, I should say. 15 days. It's unbelievable. You get to try the games out. They have the newest games, Grand Theft Auto 5, Diablo, all the greatest new games. And you get to try them out or keep them, whatever you want to do, for as long as you want. And it's on us for 15 days, free. Check that out. All right? I want to thank all the people that donated. You guys are amazing. The show is always free. But the ones that do donate, you know, we love that you love the show and you're helping us out. With all these donations go back into the show. I don't use this shit for cab fare. It all goes back into buying shit for the show, the studio, and stuff like that. So you guys are amazing. I want to thank, of course, Heather Graves. We love you. And Tony Martin, Ian Rice, Aaron Attachinson, and Paramount Limousines. You guys are fantastic. Thanks for supporting the YKWD show. You guys have any questions? You guys have any suggestions? Not really, but, I mean, you can try. Email us at YKWD@riotcast.com. We get all the emails. We listen to them. We try to get back to you. We appreciate all the fan mail and all the people who love the show. If there's people on the show we haven't heard yet, email us. We love to have new people on all the time, as well as the regulars. That's when you know I got to stop the go back to the show when I just start mumbling. Because I just like hearing my voice. I'm in a room alone right now, and I see the sound on the GarageBand and my little mic, and I could just talk forever. Ugh.
You are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What Dude podcast on podcast.com.
I don't know. We're on the air, though. Let's go back. Ready? We're back, guys. All right, so check it out. We are back.
I don't like the way that you answered so quickly, Daniel.
What do you mean?
Nope.
Look,
no, I didn't know.
Can I just say something?
I want to be mad that he didn't give me a gift.
I'm not mad, but, you know.
You're a little jealous. Don't lie. Come on.
I'm not jealous,
come
but,
on.
You know,
can say the truth.
I'll make sure
jealous.
No one gets left out.
All right, here's the deal. Jealous. Here's the deal.
In this room.
You know what?
Dude.
Everybody's going to feel shitty when you get left out, but fucking whatever. Whatever. I get left out. How many times have I brought in packages that they just gave to you?
That was very nice of them.
Right. It's very nice. Dan is that guy. Dan is the fucking likable guy. Lewis is the new flavor. He's
school
got
shooter edit. Doesn't like me.
Gorgeous Dan
school
shooter.
I'm like, first of all, can I tell you, do you understand what Dan's doing right now? He's trying to get school shooter to like him. That's corporate fucking Dan at work.
Robert, please. Yeah. If I knew Kelly was going to be hurt by not getting a gift... I wouldn't have got her a
so
gift.
Give her the Andre the Giant.
Here you go. You know what?
Hanging so perfect.
Kelly,
take Donatello.
You're gonna have Donatello.
Perfectly the Giant.
You should
have. Wait, who is Donatello for?
You should have Donatello. You're like a turtle.
Yeah, because he has a joke about Ninja.
That's the same thing that happens to your hemorrhoids.
Wait, Dan got two. Hold on, Dan got two gifts and Kelly didn't get any.
I got two ones that he bought at a garage sale. You got a statutory ape, and I'm giving this to Kelly because.
I got fucking DVDs.
Turn it down now.
With jizz on them. I think he jerks off to MMA.
That's not Lewis's son, though.
All right, so Joe, what are you doing?
I'm trying to Instagram a picture of Andre the Giant in the foreground and Dan's giant head in the background.
All right, so let's touch it. Let's get back focused. We're back from break.
There it is.
Look, I just want to say, Lewis, I didn't yell at you too. We had a conversation as friends about this.
Are we friends now?
We're friends.
We're friends now?
Yeah,
we're officially friends.
Yeah, we're friends.
Say it.
You're one of my friends. I want to have you and B over for dinner and your kid. And you're a friend of mine.
Well, no, is B your friend? Because that kind of devalues our friendship.
Right? B's more than a friend.
Whoa.
B sucks.
Would you let little baby James play with little baby Max?
Never. No, never.
Sweet baby James.
John Bones Jones retweeted my fucking Vine.
That's
because
insane.
Because your
That's
kid,
awesome.
Your kid
Who
crawls,
the fuck is
right?
This person?
Well, he crawls like John Jones with one knee down and one leg.
I know you taught him that too. You beat it into him.
No, one leg.
Do
one
it.
Leg, James.
James. I'll hit you in your undeveloped skull.
Who is John Jones?
John Jones is the light heavyweight champion of the world.
Possibly the greatest MMA fighter of all time.
How many followers does he have?
Probably millions.
Millions. Yeah.
2 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I've gotten 20 retweets since he retweeted.
Listen. Oh, wow. Listen.
Very
Luis Gomez.
Family. That's not really a lot.
Luis Gomez right now is in a... I love it.
He just came.
I love
He's
seeing...
in the fucking
this
zone.
Is what I love about Luis. He was about to fucking give up, move to L.A., and
wasn't
fucking...
He was giving up.
Well, wow. If he went to L.A., he'd be just another Mexican.
Yeah.
Be training at some weird gym in Koreatown. Do it! Do it!
My ears.
Now he stayed here. He's fucking, and his career is popping off. A lot of great shit's happening, so I love it. I love seeing shit like
popping
that.
Popping off.
Yeah, I got other good news today that'll tell you off the air.
Great. Awesome. Awesome. So, and I love that because you canceled everything. You lost money. You took a hit.
My relationship is on the rocks.
Yeah, but but that's the fuck. That's when shit happens. When you just believe in your fucking self and do what the fuck you do, and somebody else believes in you too.
It's the have you ever seen the movie Never Been Kissed? It always that scene always stuck with me. Oh, fuck you, dude. Don't make faces. The scene always.
That scene with that, Lou.
Dan, what's wrong with that?
No, it's great.
What? No,
it
reminds me.
First of all, it was Jessica Alba's breakout role. That's
and you're right. And you're right. And this is a lesson that I learned in Fever Pitch, which is that Lewis sucks at talking about stories from movies.
All right, Lewis, no, dude, do me a favor. I want you to punch Jeffrey in the head for using his phone on the show.
No, I wouldn't
I'm
do that.
I'm kidding.
He's getting
a killer show.
Look how nervous you are. No, no. Don't tell him to punch me.
He's also
Rodney did that to me once. It hurt.
You text him, I'll fucking punch you in the head. I don't like your hair.
There's that scene in Never Been Kissed where she goes back to school at first, and the whole idea is she's a reporter and she's supposed to go back and be cool. Mm-hmm. And the first day she goes back, she's still a fucking nerd. Like she's not cool.
Who was in that movie?
It's Drew Barrymore and David Arquette is her brother.
Well, Dan, I don't understand why you're so angry right now.
It reminds me of the night I was going to audition for The Cellar, and I watched Bridges of Madison County twice just to fire me up for it.
I want to see where this guy's, Luke. Come on.
But she comes back to school and she sucks it. She's a fucking nerd still. And then the next day, her brother, who happened to be popular in high school.
Uh-huh. Somebody give Jeff a piece of paper and a pen so he can write a joke.
Yeah. So she comes home, she's all upset. And then her brother the next day ends up going back to school again. Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, you just need one person to think you're cool.
That's it.
And then everybody else is going to fucking believe it because people are fucking
it's
sheep.
True.
And that's the truth.
Was that Bobby for you?
Kind of, yeah.
Well,
dude.
There's been a lot of people.
Bobby pretended to be in high school to make you cool.
Dad, when's lunch? Dad, is it lunch? Fourth or fifth period, dude? Dad.
Dad, I'm not going to gym class. Dad, fuck that, dude.
Fuck pull-ups, dude.
I didn't like pull-ups. Because my stomach came up. My stomach came up. Oh, shit. Kelly.
Oh,
Kelly.
Something.
We don't know what the fuck to do.
She really is just the Terry Schiavo of comedians.
Okay,
even small, small finger movement, and you're like, she's back.
Back when Bobby did pull-ups, they didn't call him that. They called him bar bends.
All right.
I thought it was funny.
It's not bad.
I thought it was funny.
Lewis is laughing.
I
Lewis doesn't
funny.
Count on any fucking vote.
That's a laugh.
That's only the delivery. That was excellent.
That's
delivery.
A laugh. Scopo's smiling creepily.
I love that you dong the fucking dong. Listen.
Dickhead slap.
Here's the deal. Just to wrap up this whole first half of the show. You guys have to understand that we all give a shit about each other, and we all help each other off this fucking show. And we need you fans. The only thing that we ask from you, laugh at us, laugh at our pain, have fun, do whatever the fuck. Every
like
week it's
things.
Free. It's free.
Nice. Go down. Register to vote. Learn about your local.
The only thing we ask, make food, send it. Help me move. retweet us. Maybe come to a show. Listen, donate some money. Listen,
buy
headphones.
There's only 18 things. The 18 things we need. There's an 18 point.
Take your friends' phones. Download the app.
Look, in reality, though, be fans. That's it. Be fans of our shit and support us. And yeah, you can bust our balls. You can do your shit. Just be funny. Don't be mean. Don't be fucking mean. Don't set out to just fucking ruin somebody's day and be hurtful.
Yeah, that's the other thing. People think because we're entertainers and because we're on, you know, stage or whatever it is that
entertainers.
I like Lewis calling himself an entertainer.
Well, I was going to call Kelly a comic. Come on.
Sorry, that was fine.
You know what's going to be great is just when Kelly goes to a rooftop with a high-powered sniper rifle. It just starts picking people off.
Wow. But she's not even good at that.
She's like, mate, did I shoot him right?
No, you hit the
lady. You know
lady
how hard it is
kid.
To get a woman comic, a girl comic on this show? None of them want
to
do
My girlfriend would love to do it anytime.
I said a
You had
comic.
Her on 9 years ago.
I said, you know, when she sat here.
She's got balls.
You had a pincher to fucking
what
talk.
What about Michelle
said a couple
Wolf?
Things.
Yeah, she said two things.
Kelly,
maybe she needs
I love
a little
you.
Time to get comfortable.
Thank you, darling.
I'm kidding, Joey. I loved your girlfriend on the show. Why don't we have your girl back on? But I'm talking
That's
about
what I was saying, you fucking jerk off.
Look at how fucking tough you get.
She's
Jesus.
Got TV credits.
Fucking Boston Joe comes out of you.
Yeah.
Fucking, you're not taking my lady on this show, you fuck motherfucker. Fuck you.
Go, bro. Oh, Adrian Appalucci did Letterman yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, let's
she
have,
wanted to come on today.
I want her on.
I love Adrian.
Why didn't she come on?
I told her to ask you.
She should just come on. Why is she not on?
I didn't know she did Letterman.
Yeah, she's going
to
be out tomorrow. Tomorrow it's coming out.
I
love her to come. What?
I'm going to bring her on next week.
Next week.
Letterman asked her onto the couch.
Let's,
unheard of.
Did he really? He fucked her on the couch.
Crazy.
Well, really? That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah. Good for her. I liked her a lot.
She's such a great joke writer.
She's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Great
She's
comment.
Very funny.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a little kind of a backhanded compliment?
I said the same
great
thing.
Great joke
Someone
writer.
Else said that.
Why?
Yeah. Well, Giannis
you
said that.
Don't say,
I said
you
the same
say
thing.
Funny.
Great comic.
Okay. You're funny.
She's funny.
You don't say somebody's a great joke writer because that means
they stink.
The joke technically was good. Technically, it was sound, but it wasn't. I'm not into that.
She's funny. She's very funny.
Say it better. Better.
She's funny.
Say it again.
Fuck all you. I was complimenting her.
Kelly.
I like Adrian Appalucci. She's funny as shit.
Take back your dumb Instagram followers. Yeah.
Fuck you
off.
With your dumb free liquor
you're
t-shirts.
Fucking jerk.
No, you're living in the past. You're living in the past, Joe.
Living in the past, Joe.
Normally people say they're a good joke writer when they're an asshole in real life. You know, because I don't want to say something.
You think
funny
she's an
asshole?
No!
Oh, sorry, I man. Like Adrian!
You think she has no charisma on stage?
What? Shut up, Lewis!
You think she's
no.
ugly, Dan?
You Jesus. Wouldn't fuck her?
I would.
Oh, Olivia.
Wow. The room just shut down. You fucked her?
No! Oh. No!
The Coke's getting in him. I'm getting all fired up over here.
You can tell because he's blinking 90 times a second.
So, Jeff, back to
it's
you.
It's Joe. But I agree. We should get on to me, for God's sakes. We get it. Lewis. Smewis. For Christ's sakes, I'm 19 years in over here.
Oh, fuck.
We saved Lewis's career. Hooray. Another guy passing me.
You know, just like Lewis has uncle sense of humor, Joe really does have, like, fun restaurant owner from the 60s sense of humor.
Come in.
Ah, my name's Joe, but I'm not going to bite your eye off for it. Ah, how's the veal?
Got a couple apple pies over here. Apple pies.
On the house. Do you really think Lewis is pasta?
Jeffrey.
Yes. Are you kidding? Of course not.
Jeffrey.
Yes, Robert.
It's a joke.
So you've been in comedy for how long?
30 years.
And you wrote this book. What is this book?
Yeah, this book is called Make
Is
Em
This
Laugh.
What you wanted to come on for?
No, I wanted what, to just what? Come on to be on with you, actually.
Didn't you have something that came out?
I was doing Good Day New York, and right. It got moved.
Okay.
I produced a gala recently for Susie Essman.
Okay.
And Greg Kelly came, and he's like, and I performed. I opened for Susie, and because I produced, so I got a good spot.
Right.
And he's like, you're funny, man, and I want you to come on the show. And it was going to be today. This morning.
Right, but...
I'm sorry, tomorrow.
But you got bumped.
Not bumped necessarily. They asked me, they want to prepare some of my stuff, so they asked if I could wait a week or two, and I'm like, yeah, fine, that's great.
Oh, so you're going on a couple weeks?
Yeah.
And that's Good Morning America?
No, Good Day New York.
Good Day New York.
With Greg Kelly and Rosanna Scotto.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll be talking about my book. My
book now, what is this book?
They're going to make you do Weather on the
this
Ones.
This book... yeah, right. Probably. this book is...
do me a favor. Don't wear that scarf.
I wear multiple scarves, yeah.
That's what I do love about you. Your fashion sense is like Phyllis scarves. Diller. But it's it weird, works on you. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
What? Undo that gong from behind.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So this book...
Fucking Scopo got me a fucking $20 gong.
He goes, dude, don't go crazy with the money with the gong, dude. So
wait,
they
what
wanted,
did he
like,
go? Do that again? What the fuck was that?
Oh, it's fucking stupid. Bastard, whatever the fuck it is. There was like $80 gongs, and I'm like, oh, he doesn't want to do that.
You don't want an 80, so you buy 20.
Hey, Scope, want to take the real anger out of your fucking... this fucking guy!
This fucking guy, right? I go to buy baby oil for my butt. You know.
Oh, by the way, dude, can we and Dan tell the story of Chris Scopo at that fucking road gig? Oh, dude, the guy comes up to us.
That was fantastic.
He's like, listen, guys.
Wait a minute, stop. This is what I'm going to close with. I need to just, I want to get this.
All right, there's
a digression here. Please. We got a book, we got anger. You want to fuck me? I know where we are.
I'll tell you where. We're going back to the book for a minute. I want to talk about Jeff's book, but I do want to talk.
Oh, it's the best.
Let me just tell the people listening. I got a gig from Keith the Cop. Every year he has this gig. He tries to get me to do it. I couldn't do it this year. I passed it on to you three fucking humps, which I was like, this is going to be great.
It was awesome.
I appreciate
greatly
it.
Greatly appreciate it.
You weren't around. I actually asked, and you were out of town.
Okay.
So fuck you, Joe.
No.
For me to try to help you. But anyways, we're going to talk
you
about
couldn't
it.
Couldn't get me, so you got Lewis?
Well, Lewis needs the
I mean, Jesus.
Lewis has a baby that...
Grab Hanley or somebody.
Have you seen every video the kid's in, he's in the same clothes. Go ahead.
So it's a book called Make 'Em Laugh, and it's about the history of the comic strip. Now, I've been in comedy so long, but I'm also a fan of comedy. I love the history of comedy, as I can see that you do, too, because you're interested in the Friars Club. So
I do like the history of comedy. I like to see how it evolved, because it did go from this, you know, the comedy that we have now, you call it blue, but we can actually do it.
Well, it's observational.
Well,
comedy,
we can do it on stage now because
because of cable TV?
It's changed. But the things that made comics laugh back then, like him pulling his cock out, were always blue. Blue's always been funny.
Yeah. Right.
It's just you couldn't do it on TV. The things that made you guys laugh back in the day was crazy shit that we can actually do on stage. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking AIDS joke that he has that he did on TV the other night. Access Live.
Mm-hmm.
He got to do his... did you do the AIDS joke?
No, you didn't. But
he
did a lot of other blue stuff.
Yeah. All of Lewis's stuff back in the 60s, they'd have been like, oh...
Lewis wouldn't.
He wouldn't have been able to go on stage in the 60s.
I agree. All your stuff blue.
Yeah, Lewis.
That's the joke of the day right there. Good.
Fuck, he's quick.
He really is just a fucking goddamn the truth.
That's why he's thinking all the time when he's blinking.
I do.
That's his
power. He's a computer. Fucking processing. Am I sick? No. Is everyone mad at me? No. Fucking take that sentence, twist it around, turn it into something. Go.
So the Cellar is about 30 years old, right?
Yes.
The Improv is just celebrating its 50th anniversary.
Right.
It opened in 63. Rick Newman opened Catch at the end of 72, and then the Comic Strip opened in 1976 on June 1st, and on June 17th, Jerry Seinfeld came in to audition. And so I decided that I wanted to write a book on the Comic Strip. So I'm one day I was in the club.
Spoiler alert.
I was in the club with Gilbert Gottfried, And we were coaching Ann Curry on how to do stand-up comedy for something that she was doing, some kind of contest, whatever. Right. And I looked at Richie, and I saw all the pictures on the wall, and I'm like, we should really do a book on your club, yeah, man. And it had been suggested to him many times, and for whatever reason, he turned everyone down about writing it. He came to my house to talk about it, and he said to me, I had more pictures on my wall than he had at the club. And he's like, I think you might be the guy to do it. And he trusted me with this thing to tell his story. So it took 4 years to do this book. And I sat down with Seinfeld and Ray Romano, and I flew to L.A. to interview Billy Crystal and all the people that started out there, Paul Reiser, George Wallace.
Eddie Murphy?
No, Eddie Murphy was the one of the few people who's not in the book.
Why wouldn't he? He's like,
he hates Jeffrey Gurian.
You would think. No, it's not that simple. Richie.
Scopo, when we're done, make sure you sweep up all these names that Jeffrey's dropping.
That would have been a good excuse. Well,
that was a double.
I can't help it. They're in the book. You know, why not
Eddie?
Richie was his manager for the first 11 years of his career. And it's in here that he fired Richie in 1987, I think, right after Beverly Hills Cop 2. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't know the whole story about why, but he had agreed to do a phone interview with me, and it never happened.
Well, you know why?
Well, I guess there were hard feelings. I don't know
why.
You know, I don't know the real deal, but I don't know. Like, people say that shit went down, that he is not comfortable talking about his past. He likes to talk about the present. So I never got to interview him. Everybody talks about him in here. There's a million Eddie Murphy stories, but he's not in the book.
That's kind of sad because he is one of the guys, when you think of the comic strip, the story of him with Chris Rock. I mean, the legacy of Chris Rock was started because of Eddie at the comic strip.
Which is the most amazing story.
Do you have Chris in the book?
Yeah. Oh, Chris wrote the introduction.
Talking
to the
mic,
book.
Jeffrey. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm motherfucking. I know. Chris wrote the introduction to the book. Besides being interviewed for it, he wrote an amazingly funny 5-page introduction that he sent us from the Cannes Film Festival. He was in Europe, and we said, like, we need this fast, and he wrote it up and sent it in, and it's great.
Well, he didn't write it. I'm sure of one of his cousins.
Sherrod Small wrote it.
Sherrod's fucking Tony manager's secretary wrote it.
Tony's in the book. You know, Tony's in there's the so many great stories. Like, yeah. Colin Quinn.
You know, I went up there when Lucian was there.
Yeah, he was there for 25 years.
Which... I never hated Lucian. I never hated him. And Starla, whoever she was. Yeah. I didn't hate her either. But it was their judgment on who got in and who didn't. They were very, you know, they were very picky.
Very tough. There were some people, really famous people, who never passed at the strip.
Yeah, but it was unnecessary. I'll be honest with you. There was a certain point where I was like, look, get over yourself. I'm going to work here.
Right.
One way
or another.
And it happened. It wound up happening where I worked there, and I just, you know, the seller took me in for day one. Esty put me in, and I've been here ever since. But, you know, I never hated them for not picking me. I get it. I'm not your style. You like a certain thing.
Did he say to you, I already have enough white comics? Because he used to say that a lot. Even to the black comics, he would say that.
He said some weird shit to me.
Yeah, he was like from the 18th century.
He said that to me, and I go, but my first joke is that I look Puerto Rican, because that's when I had the hair and the goatee.
Uh-huh.
I was
like, sexy Bobby.
I go, How do you? But the whole thing is that I look Puerto Rican. And then he just floundered because I caught him.
You know, he was a carpenter. That was his background in comedy.
Like
he started out as a Broadway dancer and a carpenter.
Did he build coffins?
He physically built the comic strip. He did a lot of the interior work.
Comic strip is the coolest looking club in New York City.
When that club was finished,
someone doesn't want to get into the cellar.
Yeah.
When that club was finished. Richie said, what are you going to do, man? He says, well, I'm going to go back to Broadway and see if I can get a job. He was a dancer and a carpenter, which is quite a combination. He had a dancer's body. Yeah. And, you know, and Richie said, why don't you stay here and become a bartender? And he's like, I don't know how to be a bartender. He says, if someone asks for a beer, you give them a beer.
Okay, but here's the deal. But here's the deal, Jeff. Answer me this.
Yeah.
So here you go. This is a carpenter dancer. Then the guy became the...
Right.
Stop.
The guy.
The guy who was supposed to be the expert in stand-up comedy.
Exactly.
How the fuck does
that
happen?
Exactly.
How in the fuck does a Cuban refugee go from being Bobby Kelly to fucking Scarface? I can't even have a baby.
because Scopo's butt's so polluted.
He's fucking...
Sorry.
Great. Yeah, he's going to be a star. Not now, but like 5 years.
Someday.
Yeah, he's
they're going to bring back character comedy.
There's no question about it.
I'll slit your throat, you fucking asshole.
But that's a great thing.
Him and Frank Caliendo are going to fucking...
Because comedy is so subjective. What made him the be-all and end-all, right? Yeah. A guy who was a Broadway dancer.
But this is why I never hated him. Because it happens at every club.
Every club,
you can't,
right.
And you'll work there someday if you're funny prevails all the time. Mm-hmm. And I did work there. I mean, I remember I had a Montreal audition, mm-hmm. and this is when I stopped giving a fuck about Montreal.
Right, and you asked them to do it from
the
strip.
No, they
right?
did it from the strip.
They did it from the strip.
And I showed up, and he put Greg Kelly, some Greg Kelly on, some black dude.
Yeah,
on in my spot. He took my spot away, put his client on.
Uh huh.
And then he put me on the next show that they weren't even Montreal wasn't even going to be there. That's what he did to me.
Some comic actually wound up doing the same thing. Got passed at the strip because of his audition for Just.
Did you hear what I just said?
I did.
He took me off the list. Robbie, the guy from Montreal, I love
Robbie Pro, great
Robbie
guy.
Pro, right. I love him.
Right.
He came in and he said to Lucian to his face, "I don't know who this guy is," and he pointed to my face. I want to see him. For Montreal auditions. Oof. That, I don't know who that is.
That's
so
great.
He goes, "Well, I'll put him on after." Or, and it's like, you fucking piece of shit. Why would you do that?
Wow. That's so fucking weird.
That was a dick move.
That is a dick move.
That was
sure.
the one thing that he did.
That is a total dick
but
move.
But I still didn't give a shit after. I think there's a disconnect. Like, I get you're going to do this.
He was very direct to people, too. There's a story that one comic literally fainted. He just fucking passed out
yeah.
because Lucian was so abrupt. I mean, he would just tell you that I don't think you're funny and I don't think you should be working in this business.
But here's the thing is
perhaps
it's so funny.
Circus work.
You literally just get off the stage and I killed. I just right. fucking, that's when I used to sweat and really just, woo.
Yeah.
Good night.
Oh, Bobby, why?
Right? I'd walk off, I'd come out and just expect accolades. And he's like, "Well, you're not really."
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. He did that a lot. And yeah. he was just a very strange guy. But
the club
itself.
But it was
because Richie was in LA with Eddie. So yeah. he had to have somebody book the club. So in right. the beginning, Richie was booking it over the phone.
Well, when he
and
left.
He taught Lucian how to book the club.
When he left, and then they actually had me back. And that was, I love Richie. He's a great guy. And he would have me come up to the club and mm-hmm. all that. But yeah. So this book is about. Let me see the book.
Richie was the first one to do spot times. Is that in the book?
Yes, he was. That was the first club to give comics a schedule.
Yeah.
And when Alan Combs came to do his interview, he actually showed up wearing his comic strip jacket that was 30 years old. Wow. A lot of people don't know that Alan Combs started as a stand-up comic. They just know him from TV as a commentator.
Right.
So
he was literally moved to tears. Because, as you guys know, when you start out in comedy, it's a motherfucker. It's just so hard to get stage time. And in those days, it was
hang
probably
on one
even
second,
harder.
Kelly. It's really hard in this business when you okay
to get stage time. And
stage time is when they put you up.
So when he talked about
what do I do when I get up there?
When he talked about Richie creating a schedule for comics, you know, years ago, comics could sit for hours, and there was no guarantee that you'd get on. And especially if somebody well-known walked in, you'd just be bumped, and that was it.
That happened to me when I moved to New York.
I didn't get on that night.
I moved to New York. I was at the Boston Comedy Club. I had the flu. I had no money. I had $50 to my name. I was living in Burr's apartment.
You had abs like a motherfucker.
I was shedded. I was sweated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there in the back of the Boston Comedy Club, and Masavia kept going, "Yo, I'll put you up next." Like, it was like second. And then Jay Moore came in. You're up after Jay. And then Brewer came in. You're up after Brewer. Mm-hmm. And then Chappelle came in. He's like, "You got to put you up after Chappelle." And then someone else popped in. Someone else fucking. And then Red Johnny the Round came in. Just literally dropped a bomb on the place. I mean, you want to talk about fuck. I see people making people laugh. I haven't seen somebody fucking drop a bomb like I used to see back in the day. I mean, the Red Johnny the Round guy used to fucking. The show's over. It's done. Don't go up after him. Doesn't matter who you are. It's fucking over.
Who is this?
Johnny and the Round Guy. It's the one that your manager was telling us the story about
in
the strip.
So funny, dude.
The one that did the voiceovers. He does Bender on Futurama. Right.
So fucking funny. I used to watch. It was just crazy. And then I got to go up at the end and with the flu.
And you murdered.
Masavia looks like a mini.
No, seriously.
Rampage Jackson.
I did good. I did all right. Masavia was the motherfucker, yeah. But me and him had a threesome.
Oh, okay.
Not a foursome. I had two chicks.
Nice.
And we had two girls, and that's when I. That's when he was like, "Yeah, let me give you a fucking spot."
That's right. Okay, so you bribed
that's
him.
That's what it takes sometimes.
I used to, when I smoked weed, that's how I made friends in every school I went to. When I moved a lot, or I went to jail a lot, and I went to like 19 different junior highs and high schools, I would just have weed with me. So I'd go in. The first thing I would do is get in trouble, because I know you go to detention or the principal's office, I'm going to find the kids I like to hang out with.
Yeah.
Luis J. Gomez type. And then we'd be in there, and I go, "Hey, you smoke weed?" And they'd be like, "Yeah."
Yes.
And then we'd go smoke weed, and I'd have my friend first day. Every time I went to a new school.
It's the same way I made a friend first day of college.
Really?
Yeah, same exact way.
Went to detention.
Yeah, they have detention in college. Pretty intense.
You just got the guy high.
The kind of college that Soda gets into, they have detention.
Mm-hmm. University, yeah.
But anyways, let me read this, man. This book is Make 'Em Laugh.
Wait, you're going to read the whole book?
The whole thing.
Right now.
Yeah.
Chapter one, dude.
Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Billy Crystal, Ray Romano, Paul Reiser, Gilbert Godfrey, Susie Essman, Colin Quinn, Paul Provenza, Jim Gaffigan, Jackie Martlin, Wayne Fetterman, Sherrod Small, Louis Black, Judah Friedlander, Pete Dominic.
You stopping after everyone you don't respect?
Larry Miller. I love Pete. I'm kidding. Jeffrey Ross, Jim Brewer, Tony Rock, Rick Overton, Lisa Lampanelli, Adam Ferrara, and fucking more. I'm going to get... This is my copy, right?
It is, but I'm going to sign it for you after the show.
Please, can I not?
I want it to be on your show. I like to write something personal. I don't want to write before I...
Is there any way you could not do that?
Just so I could do whatever. Yeah.
Jeff, is this on Amazon?
I hate... Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. I hate when people just write their fucking name in their book. You know, Belzer, I'm friends with Belzer for so many years, and I go to all his book events at the Friars Club, and he just writes something like best wishes, and I'm like, can't you write something personal?
Yeah.
And he takes the book and he writes the words something personal.
Right.
Are you motherfucker?
It's my favorite moment for Paul Provenza's Green Room is when he's talking about he's Belzer's there, and he's like, what's this merch you guys are talking about, and Stanhope goes, I bought your book, Belzer.
Yeah,
that was my favorite moment.
That was good. They smashed Belzer on that show.
They did.
It was fucking awesome. Because he tried to say he didn't know who Stanhope was.
Yeah.
And Dave Attell was like, you know who fucking Doug Stanhope is. Don't give me this bullshit. It was
really?
Fucking great, dude.
Because he goes, who are you? Who are you to Doug Stanhope? And Attell goes, this is my friend Doug Stanhope. He's one of the funniest comedians working. And Belzer was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
Have you seen Paul Provenza's new show, Set List?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you do it? You did it, right?
Yeah, thanks a lot. They're going to be doing it.
Oh, that's right. You did it in Montreal.
Don't yell at me, Jeff.
He's got two guns on him. I've got two guns. One for, well, one of Bobby. That was a Tombstone Fat joke.
I liked it.
You
backstory.
Lewis didn't.
I'm just loosening this.
Fucking keep that on your fucking mic.
I was handing it to you, and then Bobby said he liked it. He had a weird way of showing it. I didn't even know what the fuck it was.
Oh, Mr. Movie, 18 movie quotes a fucking minute.
I knew it was trying to be a two-minute
reference. I hate you!
It was a real stretch.
I do. They're going to be doing set lists from the Comedy Cell, the Underground. They're going to start doing that on Wednesdays. They're going to show
it. Oh, yeah, Paul was, I saw it at the New York Comedy Festival.
And coming to this, let's first, I want to end the show with Lewis, but you guys did a show for me this weekend.
Thank you.
I got this gig through Keith the Cop, and it was I know it was good money. I know it was good money for each of you guys.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was cash.
Yes.
Yes.
And, awesome. Sorry, Kelly, but.
What?
Yeah, you have a vagina.
They didn't want a girl.
They did not want a girl. So, Scopo is...
I don't know why I was there, but...
Because they wanted a dyke.
Okay. Yeah.
They wanted a dyke with a fucking Suzuki truck.
Juicy up front.
So what happened?
Scopo hosted.
Oh, this was the
first of all, Scopo thought he was featuring. He goes,
because I'm like, all right, Scopo, how long are you doing? And then I said something, he goes, well, Lewis will bring me up. And I was like, what? On the drive over, then Lewis was like, I'm featuring. And then Scopo was like, no, I'm featuring.
Bobby said I'm opening. I was like, you've never done the road. Opening is hosting.
Yeah.
All right. You guys.
So look, the guy.
That's fucking funny. Wait, you thought you were opening, and that means you go in
the
middle.
No, I thought Lewis was going to do more like time up front. You know, like do 15, 20, me do 10, and then Dan does an hour.
That's not the way shows
work. So you
work.
Didn't want to go up first.
No, I didn't mind going up first.
But you thought
the audience did.
What happened?
I'm kidding.
Here comes
Evil
he
Kelly.
Did Kelly
just lighting up at the idea that something bad happened to somebody.
Kelly, wait! Tell me what happened, quick! I want to hear.
Something bad happened.
Oh, I single.
She just smells blood.
Vulture Kelly picking at the meat. Yeah.
Especially on me. Especially on me. She wants to fucking bury me.
Listen, I need to know because I'm responsible. Listen, stop. Lewis, you can't lie.
Robert. I'm not lying. He did great, Robert.
Look at me. I'm not looking at you, Corporate Dan.
Robert.
I already know. Listen.
He did great. I'm not lying.
I know because I know the guy who booked the show.
Okay, good. Ask him. Okay. Yeah. Dude, they went from the fucking old people doing the twist to Chris Scopo telling jokes in the dark.
Yeah, it was literally the DJ stop, and Lewis is like, all right, now your comedy portion of an evening, Scopo.
They were going to have him walk up in the dark. I was like, well, let me introduce him on like a phantom mic.
Yes, Joe.
From a phantom mic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What show?
I had a thought.
What was the thought?
Well, I thought it was one of those ones where you went up, where the feature brings up the opener, and the opener brings up the feature, which is the worst. I was going to say you'd have the headliner
do
that.
I did like my fucking announcement voice. I was like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Nailed it.
I've done those shows.
Please welcome your host. You've seen him on nothing.
There's nothing worse than the middle bringing up the MC, and then the MC brings up the middle. It just looks like you guys just came and were like,
I love when Lewis is hosting. He does a great job. He did a great job at the
Riotcast
show.
He's such a good host that that's all he should ever do.
Right? Yeah, he is.
So
go ahead.
So the guy, really nice guys, very ball busty.
Oh,
great. He's like a fireman. He's just like,
yeah, but did they care about each other when they did it?
Yes. Yes.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So they.
That was nothing.
Yeah. It was okay.
Fucking what?
So
I didn't even get it.
He comes up to me. He has a heartfelt conversation.
I'm like, yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah.
The main guy in charge. I mean, that was just unnecessary. It's beer all over my pants, and they're already tight.
Are they sweatpants?
What just happened?
You knocked Don Fry off the table
because Lewis doesn't gong when he's supposed to gong.
Sorry.
All right, there you go.
I wasn't even looking. What the fuck just happened?
He threw something at the beer bottle. By the way, if somebody else did that, Bobby would punch a hole through their heart.
First off, this room wouldn't have walls because Bobby would have exploded.
What the fuck, dude?
Speaking of that, it would have been like, hero, save the cheerleader, save the world. Bobby's going to explode any moment.
Yeah! We have to get Monroe back on, too. I feel bad. We had that fucking craziness, and he'd never been back on.
What happened? Every time I see him, I tell him, I was like, you're never going to come back on the show. It's the best.
So we'll get to the part where Scopo's suffering. Kelly's going to lose her shit if we don't get to
the guy comes up to us, and his name is Lou. He's a really nice guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, man, last year they had this fucking comic. This black guy came up, and he just kept on doing all these black jokes. There's one black guy as part of the department.
Well, he goes, he keeps doing race stuff, and it's making everyone very uncomfortable. He's talking to this one black kid. He's staring at the one black kid with his mom, and he's just doing race stuff, and it makes everyone very uncomfortable. So you guys are going to do stuff like that. We're like, no, we're just going to go up there.
I'm reworking my set in my head at this point. I'm like, oh, shit. It's all race stuff.
We're like, well, we're just going to go up there and do jokes. That's all we're going to do. He's like, all right, good. Because, you know, last year they didn't really enjoy him.
Did you do your Russian?
Yeah, of course.
No, the best.
But like, on the ride. He's like, I was like, I can do the Russian.
I retired the Russian.
Dude,
I was like, I don't do it anymore.
Drinking. 5 minutes
I hear,
in.
Rush, whatever the fucking joke is.
5 minutes funny. In, Dan's doing, do you think this bad neighborhood?
Yeah, it was.
I mentioned closer.
No, I did it at the end. Scopo was trying to be funny to save himself for what we're about to tell you.
Okay.
The guy's like, just don't do that. We don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. You could curse. You could do whatever
you want.
Was
this guy Italian?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lewis and I.
Thank you for asking, Bobby. I couldn't pick that up.
Lewis is.
Could you let Dan do the voices, please?
Yeah, Dan will be the voice guy.
But Lewis is just having drinks, and we're in the back. And Scopo goes up, and he's like, hey, how you guys doing? And Lewis and I are talking. I'm like, I'm going to take a fucking hot one here. And Lewis
because,
and I are joking.
The setup is weird because there's no stage. There's a dance floor, and I told them to bring the lights up on the dance floor. They didn't.
So it's just dark. So
it's like a shadow.
Scopo's just standing in the dark talking. And he's just like, yeah. And Lewis and I are talking. And just in the background, we just catch it as Lewis and I are talking around the corner. And he goes, you know, black chicks. And we're like, he's not doing race stuff. And he's black guys are like this. And we're like,
I look like a black chick from the waist down.
And it's just
I was like, all right, I'll do my ass bit. And then they didn't laugh at that. And I abandoned that real quick.
And so he's just like, black
guy.
You just keep hearing dude, you black. Went all,
like, every time he said the word black, it like made me cringe. I was like, dude, stop saying black.
Lewis
you
was cringing.
You made Lewis cringe?
Yeah, dude.
You know how hard that is?
The one note he gave us. He said,
you'd have to light a black baby on fire to make Lewis cringe.
He just said, don't like go at the black people. And Lewis, a black joke.
Every time he does it, Lewis looks at me and he goes, oh.
Dude, and look, he did. Here's the thing.
They
dude.
Did. They liked it.
They yeah. did. They laughed. They, yeah, it was, yeah, it was yeah. good. He was hosting, dude, and he literally, I swear to God, they shut off the twist.
Yeah.
People stopped twisting, and they sat down, and he had to go up right there cold.
And they
jokes.
Were, like, I'm not going to lie, I give a lot of credit to Scopo. It
dude.
Was fucking chaos, and he got him to listen. He got him laughing.
How'd Lewis do?
Chaos?
Lewis did great. Lewis just
who did the best?
I mean,
Dan did the best.
I did the best, yeah, but yeah. Lewis,
it made sense the way it went.
Lewis built it in because Lewis did his crazy.
You can't say you did the best.
I can say it because I
oh,
did the
really?
Best.
Oh, really? Okay.
he did great.
But then, what do you mean?
I'm like,
you
hey,
did the best?
Fork drive you, but no. But Lewis was like walking through the crowd, like, look at this guy, just murdering.
Like, is that a wedding? I was yeah. fucking like patting people on the back, just fucking eating off their plates.
He's like, this guy's half a queer, huh? And everyone's like, yeah. And then I go up there for the first 3 minutes, like, wait, he's just gonna fucking stand there and tell jokes? And I'm like, yeah, bah, 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 and they're like, all right. And then they got on board. But right. the first 3 minutes of my set, they're like, why is he not coming in the crowd and grabbing my wife like the last animal?
How about Soder, just the sweetest guy in the world? That's what you want when you're doing a hell gig, your middle act to walk into the crowd.
Yeah. Where are you from,
what a
rag?
Fucking, what an asshole.
Hey, don't make fun of blacks, but queers are on the table.
Yeah, dude. That guy, then he got drunk and started touching our thighs.
Oh, he wanted
that
to
was the
what?
Best part. He didn't watch a second. Of my ass.
We showed, so, he was flirting with Scopo. We showed him pictures of Bailey J. He's like, I suck that
oh,
dick.
He goes, bring Bailey J next time you're here. Bring Bailey. I'm like, she's not a comedian. I don't care. Bring her here.
She'll
bring
be
her
funny
here.
When she's sucking my cock.
And then Lewis, after the show, you know
he decides.
Because any good friend that knows that your buddy that quit drinking alcohol 8 months ago and quit smoking cigarettes 4 months ago. Yeah. So what does Lewis do? Let's get a big glass of whiskey and go outside and smoke cigars with everyone smoking cigarettes.
And he becomes so friends with everybody.
I'm just standing. Scopo and I are just standing in the back. Everyone's smoking Jesus. Around us. He's drinking whiskey. He's like, hey, guys, you guys want to stick around for another drink? I'm like, no, I know.
They were great people.
Because I'm coming off the rails.
Dan is looking at the drink like he wants to jump in it.
I'm like,
that's where Lewis should be, Long Island, just doing firehouse after firehouse.
The new Gino Biscotti.
You make all your money during Christmas.
He really was walking
take
through.
Take the rest of the year off and just do MMA shows.
Like a delinquent Phil Donahue walking through the crowd interviewing. What are you do, huh?
They love me.
They did love you.
I would have been drinking and smoking with you, buddy.
Ah, you weren't invited.
Well, that's not what you were supposed to say, Kelly. You're supposed to be like, oh, that's mean you were drinking.
Well, look, I'm not a chick, dude. I said, look, I stopped smoking weed. It's actually 2 weeks ago today.
I know, I'm just busting your balls.
No, but what did I say? I said, smoke weed on the ride home. I don't
check
give a
it
shit.
Out. Well, here's the thing that happened with you. You're talking about this guy being a fucking touchy dude. We did this show. Joe, you were sorely missed.
Yeah, you were.
The live show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stop messing with
that. How fun was that?
My throat is sore.
How fun was that?
That was the most fun I've ever had.
But I really realized, Lewis, that you sucked a dick.
Not just sucked a dick,
Lewis,
but...
not sucked the dick that night. And the video's on our YKWD YouTube page. Mm.
Robert Kelly Live.
Robert Kelly Live. Listen, Lewis, this whole thing was a joke. Until you went to do it, you've really sucked a man's penis.
I don't compete to lose.
Yeah, but you've really sucked a man's cock. What are you two fucking doing?
Looking at pictures
I'm
of
listening.
Lewis sucking
you
dick.
You really sucked a cock.
It's unbelievable. But no, you were there, Dan.
It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And
you made, by the way, Jim Norton cringe for a second.
The fact is, where I...
And then he filled up.
Where I was... where I saw... My viewpoint... I walked around to see it, but my viewpoint at first looked like my friend was blowing my other friend.
Yeah.
Because
were
Lewis
you there, Jeff?
Was just doing it with his...
No,
you weren't there.
And then Lewis...
Suck his dick, Jeff.
Hang on,
a dildo.
Jeff, we did a live show, this podcast live in front of for the comedy New York Comedy Fest
200
at
people.
The Village Underground. It was unbelievable. We had Bailey J on, who's on our network, and it was...
That hot piece of shit right there.
She's got a great show, and her husband, and they came down, and Lewis challenged her to a blowjob competition, okay?
Uh-huh.
And
Oh, that's funny.
I thought it was going to be for shits and giggles. I thought he was just going to suck a dick a little bit. I knew Lewis sucked. When I knew he was for realsies, when Lewis went, you got to put your leg up. And I'm like, what? He goes, because I'm standing straight holding a dildo where my dick is. He goes, no, I need your leg up. And I'm like, why? He goes, you got to put your leg up. I put my leg up.
What I did was I asked for a chair.
Yeah, that was
the
first.
You're like, what do you want to sit down, you fucking lazy fuck? And I'm like, no, dude, put your leg up.
And I put my leg up, and I was like, oh, my God, he's done this before.
Did you argue? Like, I'm not
this is a more comfortable position for everybody. This is how you suck a dick. You put a leg up. And then he goes, this is when we went 1, 2, 3, go, which I wish I would do for every blowjob, by the way.
Oh, my God.
1, 2, 3, go. Oh. He fucking, if you watch the video, he spits on it once, realizes there's
like
not enough
a gentleman.
Spit.
Like a gentleman.
Spits on it twice, and then pushes the spit down the shaft to get
eyes.
The whole dick wet, because he knows if you put your mouth in it on a dry dick, it's going to get stopped. So you,
well, it was more for me.
And then he wet it, and then he stuck his hands between my legs and grabbed my ass and pulled my fake cock into his mouth, and then he just fucking did the windmill.
Yeah,
are your arms long enough to do that?
Yeah. I didn't even know it was a joke at first. I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah, no.
It was a good fat joke. Have you? Lewis,
no, I've never sucked a dick. I've had my dick sucked thousands of times.
Hang on 1 second.
Thousands seems high.
Hang on. Have you ever sucked a dick, Lewis? This is your chance. This is the moment where you can just say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna get it out. I'm married. I love my wife.
If I would have ever sucked a cock, I would be the first person to admit it. Why? Because I'm a real ass dude, and that's what real ass dudes do.
Suck dick.
You've never
LJG RAD.
Have you ever sucked that dildo before, like a dick?
I've seen him.
That's good.
Yeah, here. Yeah, I have here.
No, but like by yourself. You jerk off and suck
dick. I would be
dick.
Funny, dude. In high school, I used to do it with bananas in like the fucking lunchroom.
Just for shits and giggles.
By the way, in high school, wasn't even like people aren't even in, like guys aren't into jokes like that. Like,
what are you going to say?
Yeah, you just gay.
I have nothing to say.
Okay.
Lewis is breaking barriers in high school.
We've really gone blue now. But
I'm not offended. I just have nothing to say.
Wouldn't either. He, let me ask you. Have you ever?
Well, you got to tell Jeff the best part, though.
What's
I get
part?
Done after 27 seconds, yep. And Bailey J is supposed to go.
And they have false cum.
No, yeah. I didn't take the load.
No, Bailey J, who's a shemale, she has a penis.
She leans into the microphone and goes, I forfeit.
She forfeits.
Wow.
So he sucked my dick.
That's what happened to with Bobby Fischer.
What happened?
The big championship, yeah. Bobby Fischer versus the Russian guy.
Yeah.
It was like the biggest chess match.
She went
in
to
history.
Shake my hand and she was like, what are you doing? She's like, No. I'll offer you a draw.
They played and then there was like a break. They had to break in the middle of the game because it was too late.
Right.
And then the guy forfeited over the night. He couldn't sleep. He went crazy.
Great movie, by the way. My favorite movie when I was a kid.
That's actually, I'm just talking about the real thing. I didn't even see the movie.
Was she under the impression that it was real?
No.
She knew it was a blowjob. Oh, yeah, she had her own dick. We bought her a dick. Where's that dick, by the way? Lewis, do you need a new dick?
For next year's Cocktober, I kind of do, actually.
Oh, that one looks grosser.
We'll leave it here. Yeah.
I like
and you
that
can
looks
take
real.
That. Okay?
Okay.
I can take that. Gnome, this is Gnome's, house up here that he gives us.
I know that his wife, we got to make sure these are away. I bought it.
You know what I mean? Did I pay you for that?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. All right, well, listen, check it out, guys. This has been a fantastic show. Lewis, Kelly,
yeah, mate.
Joe, it's good to have you back, man.
It's nice to see you.
Are you back now? Are you going to be back next Tuesday?
I'm back Tuesday. I'm back December. I'm in town all the whole month.
Great. Awesome.
I'm in Christmas week.
Pothead fucking Dan.
Hey, man. What's up?
You're very fucking zony this show.
Man.
Like, I got to really smack you to get your attention.
What?
Dan's going through some shit.
What's wrong?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You even told him?
No. What's up, dude?
Oh, man.
What, dude? I didn't want to tell him on air.
Dan has it.
Well, dude, no, come on. You all right?
Yeah,
what happened? What happened?
It's
maybe
serious, but it's fine.
We'll get through it.
What happened?
We'll be fine.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a matter for like close friends.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm not close enough for you to tell me?
No.
I don't know, maybe if you asked.
Well, I'm asking.
You're asking on air. It's all for the show. It's not just for our friendship.
It's not for the show. I turn the mics off.
I'll tell the stories.
Mics are off.
Okay. Tell them, Joe.
Dan's gay.
That's perfect because I think Lewis is queer.
We have an announcement to make. Lewis and I will be moving in together, and we'll be raising James as our son.
Do you understand how famous you'd be if you did that?
Well, guess who's the power bottom? Because you're looking at him.
Yeah, wiggle, I want wiggle. You to have this dildo.
Wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle.
This dildo has warts.
Warts.
Oh, that's fine.
all right, let's go through this, man. Jeff, thank you for coming on.
Hey, I had a blast.
You had a good time?
I had a fucking amazing time. Thank you so much for making me feel so comfortable.
I appreciate it coming on. Make sure you... Where's the book? Let me see this book. I got it over here.
I really do want to read this book.
Do you want... Why don't you? Yeah, you can buy it and help him out.
I will. I'll buy it. Awesome. I'll buy it from the YKWD Amazon link.
I leave comments.
Is this on Amazon?
Yes, it's on
Amazon.
Can
you get it on iTunes?
Yes, you can get it. Oh, I don't know about iTunes. You get it on Kindle.
Okay, great.
And Amazon and Barnes & Noble if you want a hard copy.
All right, check this out. It's Make 'em Laugh by Jeffrey Gurian and Richie Tinkin. And this is the history of the comic strip. This is a very interesting book. I'm going to read it over the weekend.
Thank you, man.
And thank you for my copy. You'll sign it after. Make sure you go get this book and support this guy. It's a really funny book. If you're into comedy, you'll love this book. So here we go. Scopo, what do you got?
Follow me on Twitter, at Chris Scopo.
Scopo needs Twitter followers.
Yeah, I mean, get me from the ground up, you know, or building.
Oh, can I say my thing?
We're going to get your last.
Jeffrey,
you
want to cut me off? Jesus,
no,
man.
Sorry, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, the poor kid's got nothing. You have a book. You've been in the business for 40 years. You know Eddie Murphy. You got a list. This cocksucker knows me, and you're stepping on his Twitter feed.
Sorry.
Doesn't even have a gig.
Dressed like my weird uncle? Come on.
See, he's mean. He doesn't know how to do it yet, guys.
Oh, my God. 41 retweets so far after John
thank
Jones.
You, thank
all right, what do you got?
I wasn't done, by the way.
Yeah, we need I said this before. We need a Scopo episode, a Scopo hour. Where is he from? What are his parents
next,
like?
All right, here's the deal.
Funny?
Ready?
Let's hear some
are you here next Tuesday?
No.
Where are you?
I'm in San Francisco.
I'm collaborating with the guy I don't know.
See my grandmother.
Do you have to?
Yeah. She's.
That's what we were talking about.
No, she's okay.
Jesus Christ,
don't even
Joe.
Joke about that stuff.
Joe, you around next Tuesday?
Yeah, I don't like
by the way, Kelly is so pumped up for this. She can't
We're
wait.
We're going to do a Scopo episode.
Please.
I want to be there for the Scopo episode.
All right, when are you coming back?
A Scopo hour.
When are you coming back?
I think I fly back Wednesday.
You coming back Wednesday? What time?
Late.
What's late?
Can we do Thursday?
No, I'm not here
fucking
Thursday.
Fuck,
you fucking jackass.
Next Tuesday. I can do next Tuesday. I'm here next Tuesday. I thought this was a week later. Oh, we're good. Can we do it in the afternoon?
Next Tuesday.
Because I got to go somewhere.
Shut the fuck up.
Right,
I don't like that you're a stoner when I need you. And then when you want, at the end of the show, I can do Tuesday. Can we do Tuesday? Tuesday.
Or just giving you the energy you wanted.
How
on
about
show?
Fucking Tuesdays with
stories?
Stories.
He doesn't ask me to do the show.
What? First of all, I asked you fucking four days ago.
Is my episode the most popular so far?
I don't know. But
do you understand that I put him on my show, and he's never asked me.
First of all, I'm a few.
Anyways, Kelly, what do you got?
This is coming out on Monday, the 25th. Is it?
Yes. Next Monday.
On Tuesday, 26th, I'll be at the Stand, and then on Wednesday, the 27th, I'm going to be doing a show at the Creek.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And follow Kelly Festuca.
Yeah.
All right. And don't be an asshole. Only one fucking fat and you're not a funny joke.
If you put a smiley face, it's
then
unlimited.
Can I just say something? You know, people give me shit about the smiley face. If you put a smiley face, you know the tone.
Yeah.
You can read the tone.
That's a smiley.
You're
smiley
not. You know
die, cunt, smiley face.
Still makes it okay.
Yeah, I laughed.
Still makes it okay. Joe, what do you got besides
got
a podcast that you don't have your friends on?
I'll talk fat. What are you talking about? We've had Greg Stone. We had Ted Alexander. We had Louis J. Gomez. We had Joe DeRosa. Also, fuck! I only do half the book. I got a second guy. A lot of them, we have no guests. But real quick, Tuesday's Destroyers, we have like 25,000 listeners. Most of them, I think, are listeners of this show that come over. Yeah. So we appreciate it. Thank you. December 10th, all of you, you're all invited. Twist and Shout Party Twist Contest at the Creek in the Cave. We have a show, and then it's a twist contest. I'd love to have you out.
Scopo's going
to
do comedy right after.
Mad Dog Mattern and Mark Norman Judge. It's great.
Awesome.
Speaking of Mark Norman, December 20th, Friday, we're at Grandma's Basement in Boston. It's a door deal. Come on out. We'd love to have
Where
you.
Where is it?
It's Grandma's Basement.
What
is the
day
name
is
of it?
It?
It's December 20th.
No, it's actually his Grandma's Basement.
December 20th. Listen, really.
December 20th. Howard Johnson's Boylston Street.
People might not know what a door deal is. Listen, that means they get paid if you show the fuck up.
That means they're not making money.
There's no guarantee. They need you to show up. So Boston fans, please show up for this show for Mark and Joe. Mainly for Mark, but and,
and we're gonna have Soder on soon. I already talked to him about it. Now he's being a big jerk on air. Yep. We're gonna have him on soon.
I don't give a fuck about him.
I'd like to have you on as well.
I should have been on number uno.
You're busy.
I'm not.
I've asked you 100 times to do shit, and you never even get back to me.
You've never fucking asked me to do anything. Name one thing.
My show at the Strip, multiple times.
One time you've asked me.
A couple times.
One.
A couple times.
I'm glad you didn't ask him.
Why? Why?
Because she likes when people are mean to each other, because she's evil.
Why?
Because it got canceled last night.
Oh, yeah. Louis J. Gomez was supposed to be on.
I'm there tonight, but they call me to come in tonight.
Because they call him the ticket seller.
anyways, come to the party, December 10th at the Creek.
I'll come to the party if I did the podcast. Go ahead, Dan.
DanSoder.com and at Soder, Dan Soder on Twitter.
That's when you know you make doing well in the business.
I don't have any road gigs. I'm in the city.
Shh.
Okay.
Why are we getting mean at the end? People are coming out, giving me flack. I'm trying to be helpful and get Scopo some fans, and everyone starts attacking me all
because
of a
sudden. Because you got a fucking hit thing. You're telling us how 25,000 awesome shit, and you got none of us 25, on it.
25,000?
Louis J. Gomez has been on it. Yeah, we've 25,000.
You just made him feel like shit about his podcast.
Louis J. Gomez has been
7 years.
And then I'd like to just throw this out. No, you haven't asked me. Yeah, you got 9 TV shows and 6 movies, and you're on the road.
I have you on my show.
All over the place.
Sick granny, you take that back.
You're killing it out here. You're touring with the 49ers, you fucking jerk.
Hey,
you're in a movie?
I have you on my show every fucking week.
You got a kid.
Con fucking Blanche you got.
I'm letting the thing build up before I have you on. I don't want to just have people in
25,000 people.
Joe's got pro wrestler neck where there's a bunch of veins coming out.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever, Joe.
I'd like to have you on.
Lewis, what's up, buddy?
Guys, go to my website, realassdude.com. I'm going to be headlining comics at Foxwoods December 18th. Chris Scopo is going to be hosting Scopo. Hosting. Dave Smith is on the show, too. He was on the live. He was on YKWD last week. It's going to be a great show. Come out December 18th to that. Also, when is this coming out? Monday?
Yeah.
25th, though.
Come to the stand on me and Adrian Appalucci are putting together this show every month. It's called the Mashup Show. It's two comics going on the stage at the same time. A lot, they might improv, they might do jokes, who knows? But Big J and Kurt Metzger are going on at the same time. Jermaine Fowler and Chris DiStefano are going on at the same time, and Seton Smith and Justy Dodge are going on at the same time. Ooh. So we got a really solid lineups, and it's a lot of fun. It's very awesome. Different than the normal stand-up show. I asked you to do the show, Bobby. You said no.
I will do it.
Who you want to go on
Bobby
with?
Bobby could be both people.
Chris Scopo.
Bobby and Kelly.
That's not fucking cool, bro.
By the way, anyways, you might want to plug Metzger and Oakerson last. Just a little
tidbit, Lewis.
What do you mean?
I'm going to learn about the
band. Close with C and Justy.
Might want to close with the two funniest people of all.
Yeah, that. Especially guys who fucking like practice stories together.
Yeah, no, they're gonna be fucking because these guys started comedy together. They've known each other for 15 years. Right, they're gonna have crazy stories.
Right. Your credits are done.
All right, we gotta wrap.
Jeff, what do you got? Gomez.
I got the Grizzly Pair this Saturday night on December 4th. I'll be at the Metropolitan Room. And I'll be on Kroll Show for my third time in the new season, coming out after January.
Awesome.
With Amy Poehler and Katy Perry.
That's awesome. And you're going to get me in the Friars Club.
Absolutely. That
Let's
would
do
be
it.
Great.
Let's
yeah, if
do
you're
it.
Serious,
I really am.
That's a definite. And my site is comedymatterstv.com. I got over 250 interviews with everybody from Jimmy Fallon to Robert Kelly. Chelsea Handler, everybody's out there.
And the book is
Make
Him
Laugh.
Make sure you get it. He's a true comedy fan. He's been in it for a long time, and he knows comedy. You're a fucking dude, man.
Thank
you're always
you,
a sweet guy, a nice guy, and I'm glad you came on the show. I'm glad
Thank
you had a good time.
I had a blast. Thank
make
you,
sure you follow us and go to our shows live. RobertKellyLive.com is going to be up on the website right now. I'm just going to look over, and fucking he doesn't have it up. Okay, and we're still waiting. And all right, fucking God damn it, Scopo.
Let me do it for you?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, do it.
29th and 30th, Robert will be at Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, New Jersey.
Boom!
6th, 7th, and 8th, you can see him at Side Splitters in Tampa.
That's right, in a couple weeks, Tampa, baby.
Tampa, I know a good strip club. 13th, 14th, Bobby will be in Arlington, Virginia at the Arlington Draft House. Come
great
check
room.
Check him out. The 27th, one night only, Bobby will be at the Comedy Shop Blackstone. I don't know. It says 87 Route 23, wherever that is.
Listen, go to my website, RobertKellyLive.com. All my tour dates, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you're going to follow me on Facebook. Follow the one on
RobertKellyLive.com. You guys are the best fans ever. Thanks for donating. Thanks for supporting all the people on this show. And we love you. That's it. Take care.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs. Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs. Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free. And they are all free.
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop.